meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight. Be with those in attendance. Be with our residents. Please guide this meeting. Please watch over Councilmember Lehman. Please be with others who are ill. Please be with our military, and please be with our employees. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Lehman? He's not going to be in attendance. Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Akazaka?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Item 5, citizens' participation. We have one resident signed up, Mr. Raul Martinez, regarding Republic.
If I didn't wait for the update, Mayor?
I'm sorry?
If I didn't wait for the update, I think they were supposed to do it.
Yes, sir. However, they will not be in attendance tonight, so they have asked us to table it into the August 23rd meeting. So if you'd like to wait, or if...
I'm willing.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so please note Mr. Martinez will... go to our next council meeting with that. Item 6A, special meeting workshop minutes, July 19th. I will entertain a motion.
Make the motion we accept.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to accept the special meeting workshop minutes of July 19th. Is there any further discussion? Actually, if all in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
We have 4 ayes, 2 abstains. All right, item 6B, special meeting workshop minutes of July 26th. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the meeting workshop minutes from July 26th, 2018.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant to accept the special meeting workshop minutes of July 26th. Any further discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Item 6C, regular meeting minutes of July 20. Sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry, July 26th. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the regular meeting minutes of July 26, 2018.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept the regular meeting minutes of July 26th. If there's no discussion, all in favor, please raise your right hand. Item 7A, discussion and possible action to approve an ordinance authorizing the issuance, sell, and delivery of approximately $6,845,000 in aggregate principal amount of City of Kirby, Texas General Obligation Bonds, Series 2018, securing the payment thereof by authorizing the levy of an annual ad valorem tax, approving and authorizing the execution of all instruments and procedures related thereto, including a paying agent, register agreement, approving the form of an official statement, and declaring an effective date. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Okay, Mayor and Council, today we actually had a competitive meeting on our bonds, the bond that was approved in this last election. So tonight we'll have a presentation by Ann Berger with Hilltop Securities. We also have with us tonight our bond council representatives are present.
I should have brought my backpack.
Yes, sir. Wow.
That's yours. I don't need that one. I don't want to.
Yes.
Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council, Ms. Vernon, for the record, my name is Ann Berger, and I'm with Hilltop Securities, and we serve the City of Kirby as your financial advisor. Before I begin, I would also like to introduce Jay Juarez, who is with McCall, Parkhurst, and Horton, and he serves as the City's Bond Counsel, and also our newest employee in our San Antonio office, Lawrence, who is an analyst who started about Monday a week ago. I handed out a presentation, and if I may ask you to please turn to page 2. Just to give a little bit of an update, since I was last here, we have been working on several items, one of which was, as you noted, Mayor, in the agenda item, the form of a preliminary official statement and official statement. That is what we call a disclosure document, and we work very closely with your staff and with bond counsel to put in information, statistical information and descriptive information about the City of Kirby, which we used with the rating agency Standard & Poor's process, and it was also what was distributed to investors to look at these bonds to make a determination if they wanted to invest in them. The rating agency process went extremely well. Ms. Vernon and Tina did a great job. The city's A-plus rating was reaffirmed, so I wanted to make sure we highlighted that. So when we were going through the process, we talked a lot about, do we do a negotiated sale or a competitive sale? And we had conversations with our underwriting desk who believed that the city would get a better interest rate if we utilized the competitive sale method. And I hope that after we get through our results today, you will be in agreement that you were able to get a very, very optimal interest rate for your consideration this evening. One of the things that we were extremely excited about, as you can see on page 2, there were 11 different bidders in this for the four-year bonds. And I spoke to Ms. Vernon yesterday and told her I'd be happy if we had 5. I think this is probably the largest number of bids I've seen on a competitive sale, maybe ever, if not for multiple years. So congratulations, there was an awful lot of interest in the market for your bonds. When we turn to the next page, we have on the left-hand side what the true interest cost was that came in for each of the bidders, and then we have what their structure was with the coupon and the yield. So you can see one of the things that we were so excited about is that if you look at the proposed winning bid, the Baker Group, they had an interest rate of 3.179. If you look at the second highest, or and they call it by price, the next bid, the cover bid is Raymond James, that's a 3.29. That's over 11 basis points, and it is very unusual to see that. If you look down, you can see that many of the next bids are, you know, a 329, 330, 331, 332. They were all right there together. So to have that kind of difference between the winning bid and the cover is very unusual, but I think very much to your benefit, and just validates why we thought having a competitive sale would be in the best interest of the city. It was very interesting because Tina, as we were watching the bids come in, the first bid that came in, it was at 9:29, was from the Baker Group. And generally when you get a bid that's more than 30 minutes out from when the bids are due, I kind of think that maybe it's not a serious bid, and it turned out that that was the winning bid. So clearly they put in an aggressive bid. They put it in early. They really wanted your bonds. Just so you know, the Baker Group is out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So turning to the next page, if we compare this, one of the things that we'll talk about in just a moment when we look at the sources and uses, we allow the bidders to put in a range of premium. And we said that they could have premium of up to no less than 2% and no more than 8%. And we just work very closely with our desk to try to understand what investors want to see. So they did turn in premium. And so we wanted to go back and compare, where do we have the actual information for your consideration today versus when I was before you on February 8th. So on February 8th, we thought we would have the $6,845 par. Well, the bid today, because of the premium, is actually $6,715. But what is interesting is when I was here before, We deducted the cost of issuance and the underwriter's discount, so we thought your project fund deposit was going to be just a little over $6.7 million. Well, in reality, because of the premium, excuse me, you get the entire $6,845,000 that you can put into your project fund. State law allows that if you have premium, it can pay for your cost of issuance and underwriter's discount. So we're very excited that you're getting more in your project fund to work on street reconstruction. When I was here at that time, we were projecting an interest rate of 4%. If you'll remember, it was not long after the Tax Reform Act went into place. We were concerned about what might happen with municipal interest rates, and we wanted to make sure that we would be able to come back and not be over that number. Well, so we talked about the 4%, and in reality, the number that we have for your consideration today is 3.1756. So that's a saving of 82 basis points, just under 1%. And like I said, and on the project fund deposit, there's $135,000 more. The other thing is that in Texas, it's standard to have a 10-year par call, which means when you get to that year, you can pay off your bonds or you can refinance them. What we always do is we talk to our desk and we say, can we do something shorter, but we don't want to pay more for it? What can we get away with and get the same price? So instead of having the standard 10-year call, you're able to have a 9-year call, which gives you some flexibility a year sooner than what we had projected. On the next page, we have your principal and interest, and if I can ask you to please look on the left-hand side, the sources and uses. If you'll look at the third item down, it says premium. The premium was $270,000. So what state law says is you can pay your costs of issuance, which are about $80,000, and also the underwriter's discount of the $55,296, but then everything after that has to go to reduce the principal. So even though you're issuing $6,715,000, it's the premium that's going to make up the difference so that you'll have $6,845,000 to build your projects. On the next page, this is another page that we're very excited about. If you'll recall, we had talked about utilizing $750,000 in surplus fund balance to be able to help offset the debt service and help you on your M&O tax rate. We had been given authority to use $750,000. I think we're only going to need to use $727,000, so we're going to be utilizing less. And in projected numbers that I shared with Ms. Vernon and Tina back on July 10th, we thought at that time that your INS tax rate would need to be 15.81 pennies. And based on the actual bid we got today, it's more than a penny less. It's 14.87. And so we're still going to be able to keep the tax rate the same as it has been. And this will allow you to put about $160,000 more towards your general fund than you had last year. So all in all, we were very pleased with the sale results. So if I may ask you to please turn to page 7. We absolutely recommend that the city approve the bid from the Baker Group. We believe, given this number of bids that the city received, we can clearly say that this was a competitive bid in a competitive environment. You got the best bid that you could get on a day like today. We want to thank all the staff who were so helpful, and especially Ms. Vernon and Tina. This is a very hectic time of the year, I know, with budget going on, and we would have to call to get help with the rating agency information, with the official statement, with all kinds of things, and they were always so responsive and so helpful, and this transaction wouldn't be the success it is without their help and support through the whole process. We want to thank Bond Counsel. They play a very important role in this process, and we worked very well together and in a collaborative effort for the benefit of the city. And then finally, before I turn it over for any questions, on behalf of Hilltop Securities, we just want to thank the city. I've had the honor and pleasure of working with the city for maybe more years than I might want to admit up here at the podium, and just very grateful and appreciative of the opportunity to be a part of your team. And so with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
I'm just happy you came out with the net figure before of the whole amount. That was a good deal. That was absolutely, I was looking at least 700 something thousand come off of that. So the backside actually bit the front side kind of sort of, in a way, I guess you would speak. That was excellent. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Serve as your bond counsel, and the only document that I need to take back with me today is that official bid form that you have in front of you, Mayor.
When I entertain a motion, is there a motion specific that needs to be specific?
No. Well, then I make a motion that we accept the Baker Group's bid.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Wilson. To accept the Baker Group. Do we need an effective date?
It's on that, what she's going to sign, so yeah.
Does the ordinance not have a specific number?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's a floater.
All right, so we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the Baker Group. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Ahadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes.
How much money you're signing for, dear?
Well, you're buying a couple of new Cadillacs there. Actually, about four dozen of them.
Item 7B, update discussion and possible action on Kirby Bear Animal Facility operations. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I'm just going to start off with just highlighting a couple of things, and then we have Mr. Andy Winter from Bexar County here. He will share some information. So just to recap, the City of Kirby entered into an interlocal agreement with Bexar County for a term of 5 years from July 1st of 2015 to June 30th of 2020, establishing a joint animal facility, which is named the Kirby Bexar Animal Facility. In February of 2016, both entities executed a 30-year ground lease where Bexar County pays the city $1 a year to lease the land for the facility. The county invested over $800,000 to build the facility that's on Duffett Drive. It was across from where our existing facility was already located. The city and the county maintain separate animal control operations. So they currently have their own animal control staff. We have our own animal control staff. We jointly operate the facility. The staffing there currently is one manager who is a Bexar County employee and three kennel technicians who are City of Kirby employees. We had a soft opening in March of 2017 and we started fully operating the facility in July of 2017. So over this time, we've had a little over a year to try to get a handle on the operations and think about some areas of improvement and how we can making the facility operate more effectively. So there have been, you know, some needs that were already addressed at council before about the opportunity to have adoptions more often, on-site adoptions, maybe looking at varying or extending hours, including more evenings and weekends for adoptions. There have been some discussions about having someone available who can answer the phones more regularly, because currently the staff there is cleaning kennels. They spend a lot of time in the back. They're not available to answer the phone at all times. So we had some discussions recently as we're looking at this next fiscal year. The county's working on their proposed budget, just like we're working on ours. And that's when we'll show you in a few minutes a couple of things that are being suggested to improve the operations this year as far as staffing and also some capital improvements that the county is requesting that we do for the building itself. We have issues right now with some of the fencing around the area. We wanted to add additional perimeter fencing and then inside with some of the kennel gates to make them safer and easier for the dogs to not be able to get out. So I'll ask Andy to come up now. He put together these slides here that we can cover, and then we'll be happy to
Well, the first slide shows the metrics that we've collected for the kennel. This doesn't tell the complete story of the kennel. This is just a snapshot. Last year, this fiscal year, we picked up around 900 animals. We've quarantined around 100. We've adopted out about 200, but we've transported out nearly 550. Transport seems to be our number one way of live outcome. We are in a unique position with transport because of the vet that we've hired to work with us. Dr. Baston has contacts in the far north, and so we've been able to get a lot of transport of animals to the far north. Actually, we've done a lot better than some of the other bigger kennels have been able to do with transport. We have not conducted that many community events because, as Monique mentioned, the kennel staff is so lean right now that we spend all of our time just catching up with taking care of the animals. We haven't had the time, the manpower, to simply go out and do adoption events. I should have brought the monthly records to show you, because the monthly records show we're running 100 to 120 animals, up to 170 in some months, transport out, where our adoption rates are down in the numbers of 10 per month. There just aren't that many adoptions. I have an article here from the city of Schertz where they're begging people to come and pick up animals, and I see the same thing out of the ACS from the city of San Antonio just about every day. The adoption market locally is saturated. There just aren't enough people to adopt dogs to account for all the animals that we get. So transport is a very good option for us. Going down to the bottom of the section, what I do when I do these metrics for the county is I try to apportion the cost of the kennel in each of the areas to come up with a cost per unit. And this represents as close as I can get to what the real cost per unit is. For every animal that we impound, we incur about $160 to $170 per animal cost. Now, that's not a daily cost. That's a total cost for housing the animal, however many days we have to house it, all the medical care that we have to give these animals. Every animal that comes in gets a complete set of shots, wormers, heartworms, et cetera. These animals also are frequently, they have medical issues that have to be treated, so that cost includes that. And state law requires that before we adopt an animal out, even transport an animal, it has to be spayed or neutered. So that cost also includes spayed or neutering. We're very fortunate because Dr. Baston is able to give us spayed and neutering at a much lower cost than we can get from the Kirby Animal Hospital or Dodd, which are the two vets that we have contracts with. Quarantine is tough. It's just expensive to quarantine an animal. As you see, it's about $500. We also have contracts with Kirby Animal Hospital and Dodd Animal Hospital to quarantine animals. We try to the maximum extent possible when the law allows to quarantine animals at home or to have owners quarantine their animals with their own vets. But the state guidelines are pretty strict there, so we can't always do that. We have to quarantine a certain number of animals at our vet, at our kennel. Adoption costs are smaller, primarily because of the workup cost that has to go into transporting an animal out. But those adoption costs, that cost up there, $130, still includes the spayed or neutering, medications, and holding the animal. I'm sorry, the first one was impounded. The next one is adoption costs. So as you can see, adoption costs about $50 an animal more. But it is a reliable, consistent way for us to have live outcomes. So far, we have not had to euthanize animals strictly for space. The animals that we've euthanized have been because those animals were too sick, too injured, or too aggressive to adopt out. And the last is cruelty animals housed. This is not really a really accurate number because Kirby's cruelty animals are housed at Kirby's expense and Bexar County's animals were housed at Bexar County's expense. But this is what the average expense of them is, though this is pretty much for Bexar County. This really doesn't cover what it costs to cruelty animals for the city of Kirby. And by the way, there are four live fighting cocks in this kennel right now. Those are being billed separately. They are not part of the 80-20 split. They are not going to be, that cost is not shared by the city of Kirby. That cost is exclusively a Bexar County expense. Next slide. These are the program changes that we've requested. I am pleased to say that as of 4 hours ago, I was told by the staff that the Bexar County Animal Placement Specialist has been approved by staff. Approved by staff. It still has to go to court. It still has to be approved by Commissioner's Court. But typically when staff votes strongly to do something, the Commissioner's Court doesn't oppose it. And most of the commissioners understand this position is necessary. This position is a right hand to JC operating the kennel. This position is the person who's going to be reaching out to more transport opportunities as well as more adoption opportunities. The main purpose of this particular position is to increase live outcomes, to get more animals moved out of the kennel faster. City of Kirby has said that you all are considering an additional kennel tech. Those numbers are shown up there. If you look at the little numbers underneath, I've done the 80-20 split, and month by month it isn't exactly an 80-20 split. Some months it's much less than 80-20, some months it's more than 80-20, but 80-20 ends up being about what our split is between our cost of the kennel and your cost of the kennel. So when we hire those specialists, the adoption specialists, it really means about $47,000 cost to Bexar County and $12,000 cost to the city of Kirby. By the way, that cost is an all-inclusive cost, all benefits, salary, all of the fringes. When we calculate this, my budget people make me calculate it using their formula, which includes all costs. The number I got from Monique, I assume, is the same kind of number. So again, Kirby is looking at this new kennel tech costing $7,300, and Bexar County will bear almost $30,000 of that cost. I've also was told about 4 hours ago that the staff has approved my ventilator doors. If you'll go to the next slide, you can see what I mean. In the front of the kennel, next slide. In the front of the kennel, if you look on the slide on the, slide on the left, that is the way the front of the kennel doors are. The ventilator, the big garage doors that provide us with ventilation all have fences across them. But the back doors, due to an oversight in our construction plans, didn't end up with those same fences across them, which really prevents us from using that back area as a dog run. If we let a dog loose in there, he'd just come right back in the kennel and run up and down the kennel and harass all the other dogs. So we can't really use that back area because we don't have those back doors fenced in. So the courts or the staff has approved, the court has not yet approved, gone ahead and adding the same fencing to the back doors that we have to the front doors so we can then use that area for a kennel run. Again, the Bexar County share of that is, well, there's also perimeter fencing to provide security. Right now, if you go to the kennel, both side doors are just open to the public. They're, yes, they have locks on them, but if somebody goes in there and spends a half a minute, they can pick that lock and they're in the kennel. When we first opened, I can't swear to this, but there was an indication that perhaps homeless people were sleeping in the kennels. There was, when the kennel techs would come in the next morning, they'd find things were rearranged. They'd find that the dog food bowls were still in the kennels where they'd left them. It were just things that were rearranged. I refuse to accept that our kennel is haunted, so the next most logical reason is that we had homeless people coming in and sleeping there at night. We're going to put a security fence around it to make that a little bit more difficult for the homeless people to come in and make the kennel a little more secure. It also adds a level of security on the off chance that somebody opens one of the kennel doors and one of the outside doors is open. Now the dog will have a third level that they have to go through before they actually escape. For both of these enhancements, the city of Kirby will pay $4,200 and Bexar County will pay about $17,000. The last is the last option. Well, if you go back a slide, please. Back one more. Okay, the last option on there is a utility vehicle for hauling animals back and forth between the two buildings. This is primarily so the kennel techs can handle the big 50-pound bags of dog food, transporting them across, so that when we bring an animal from the new building to the old building for surgery, we've got something to transport them in. I'm talking about a mule type vehicle, a four-wheel kind of utility vehicle. We had forecasted $10,000. That was not approved by staff because the San Antonio River Authority has agreed to give us a mule. There's still details to work out there, but we expect to get that mule. Now if you can go to the last slide. This is the ultimate overall projection for the kennel. We currently have phase one completed. We have phase one completely occupied. We are holding off on recommending further expansion until we have a little bit more experience under our belt so that we can really truly say that expansion is warranted. One of the realities with stray animals in Bexar County is if I had a facility the size of ACS's, I could fill it up. Your ACO, my ACO can easily pick up 14 dogs a day. So 60 kennels, 120 kennels, we'd have more dogs. The real metric that we're looking for is how many dogs can we turn? We don't want to pick up dogs that we can't have live outcomes for. So at this point, we're going to leave the kennel at 60 kennels for the time being until we can show metrics that positively show that we need an increase in the number of kennels. Phase four is shown as the office building, and we have the luxury of, between us, City of Kirby and Bexar County, deciding if we want to stick phase four in as phase two or phase three, so we can decide what phase we want it in. This was the notional concept when we designed the kennel. The idea was to maximize kennels first and then go for an office, but the way things are right now, it might be better to do the office as the next phase instead of one more kennels. As I said, that's a decision that this council and Bexar County's commissioners will have to make based on the kind of metrics that we collect. Do you have any questions for me?
How do
we get to phase four?
I'm sorry?
How do we get to phase four?
How do we get to phase four? Well, if you all and the commissioners all decide that we need to go to phase four first, we'll simply swap phase two and four, and then phase two will be stuck out on the other end of phase three. It's just switching things around. As I said, that was the notion when we designed the kennel. At that point, we didn't have a good concept of what our needs would be. We still don't really know. If I had 60 more kennels, could I turn 240 animals a month? You know, if I can only turn 150 animals a month, it really doesn't do us any good to have more kennel space.
Well, yeah, but did also the office include the hospital or operating?
The office includes the hospital, yes. And that's something we do desperately need. We are saving enormous amounts of money by using Dr. Baston instead of Kirby Animal Hospital or Dodd. Dodd and Kirby both charge us per animal for spayed and neuters, and Dr. Baston charges us on an hourly basis. And her hourly wage right now is quite affordable, $60 an hour.
Okay, when could we start that dialogue?
When could we start the
dialogue for getting it done?
We'll take back that information to my boss.
Okay.
And we will start it immediately.
Please.
Okay.
I have a question about the additional gates for the back.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're saying this that was not in the original plans? And who oversaw the original plans of this of the building of this facility?
West East was the overseeing architect for the facility. Bexar County obviously was the project management for it. We designed it. I guess you'd have to say I'm the one who missed it, because as I went through the plans, I did not see clearly that those back doors would not have fences on them. I checked the doors on the front. I made sure that they were what we were looking for. Somehow we overlooked those doors in the back.
Can you back that patty to that slide that he's talking about?
Yeah. Back one, back two slide, there.
Okay, and I understand that the city of Kirby shares responsibility for this building. So you're asking the city to help pay for those doors. Why should the city of Kirby be penalized for the county's oversight?
I'm not in a position to be able to answer that question.
Well, I don't think the city should be held liable or be asked to help pay for those doors when it was the county's oversight.
I will make note of that and bring it back to my boss.
Please do.
And I personally, if anybody knows me, knows that I was one of the biggest proponents for our shared shelter. However, I have been extremely disappointed in the effectiveness that it is for the city of Kirby. We've had many incidences, including our employees, that feel that it's basically county run. And basically, as a city official and somebody that has every right to go into that building, our chief of police also has been questioned why he's in that building. At that point, this is where I have a huge issue with any of this. Our police chief should never be questioned by a Bexar County employee as to why he is in our building.
Was he in uniform?
Slightly.
He was absolutely in uniform.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. I don't know why we would question the chief of Kirby Police.
You're talking about security. However, there are people that aren't even associated with county or the city that has keys to that building and have been left unattended having events.
Okay, I'm not aware of that either.
So we're sitting here talking about possible homeless people, which I've never heard that. Yeah. Not to say it hasn't happened, but I've never heard that happen. But as far as the security, it can't be really that big of a deal. Our own employees, correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, have to check out keys with dispatch?
Yes. Right.
As do ours.
So, however, I have seen employees go in there without going to dispatch first when I've been there. And then the door was locked, and I couldn't even access the door because it was locked. So I have, and not only that, but since you're saying that we're having a really hard time even adopting animals and there's not a market, I personally don't see spending money on county or the city, for that matter, in an adoption person if you've just stated earlier that there isn't any market really for dogs. And as far as the events for adoption events, you've known the history of Kirby, and even when we had a limited staff, there were still plenty of adoption events there, right there in that big cul-de-sac. So, I mean, as far as the building itself and as far as the avenue to have those events, they could be done right there. Nobody would even have to leave. It's been said, of course, that we're hard to find. However, with all the marketing that's happened, you know, there I see stuff on Facebook all the time with Dr. Baston's rescue group for hand-me-down hounds, where she's, you know, gearing up, raising money for animals, saving animals. She posts that information on her rescue group. And, you know, they do a lot in that department, in that area, to rescue those animals. So my question also is, even though it costs that, so in addition to the monies that the city's sharing and county are sharing to vet all those animals, it's costing an additional $182 to transport those animals? Is that what you're...
Not additional. It's $182 to transport an animal versus... give me a second. Versus $130 for adoption.
So
it's $50, $52 additional.
So if fund is being... if fundraisers are being done to transport those animals, then what is the cost? I'm not sure what the cost is. If there's fundraising being done to transport the animals out of the shelter, I'm not really sure where the cost comes in for county or the city. If it's not vetting, if Dr. Baston is able to do that. So you're saying it's $182 to vet the animal in order to send it out.
I can't give you the specifics. I don't know the specifics, but the folks that we are transporting these animals to require a higher level of vetting than we do with adoptions.
Well, they adopt the animals out for $250 to $300. So, I mean, like I said, I can see why they would do that. And I do know, like you just said, that it is a law that they have to be vetted before they can even go out of our shelter. So those are my concerns with that. And again, I was the biggest proponent of the shelter from the time I was on council previously until it actually became a reality. However, the entire spectrum of this whole project changed from one time to the other. And it has, you know, and there's also rumor that county's planning on taking over the entire shelter and the kennel techs. You know, and so that basically the only city person that would be there would be an ACO, you know, for Kirby side. And that's another problem we're running into is our ACO is being told that she cannot pick up any animals because the shelter is full, and it's not full of Kirby's animals, it's full of Bexar County's. So our dispatch and our ACO and myself and probably other people are getting complaints from our residents that, well, here's this shelter here, and we have dogs that can't be picked up. Now, I personally don't call dispatch if there's a dog that's loose and it's not aggressive or anything. I'll take the measures to find its owner. But, I mean, these are, you know, I understand that the county's asking for these options and for the city to be shared costs. However, I don't really see the feedback for Kirby or actually anything that's coming back that's helping us out. It's all basically county this and county that. So I have a problem with sharing any expenses that are going to benefit the county only and not the city of Kirby.
Patty, can you back that up again to the main screen where those costs were being shown?
And as far as the phases, I mean, that was one of the things that Renee Green had said, is that hopefully we wouldn't have to move into phases, that, you know, people would be responsible, that we would have spay and neutering options, and, you know, that we could have education and all kinds of activities for that. And I know SNAP has been there. That's actually who's been utilizing the shelter with no one in attendance. So you know, those are, to me, those are concerns as well. And as far as adopting, there is no Saturday or Sunday people there. The ability for our own staff to adopt animals out has been taken away from them. So even though they're there on Saturday and Sunday, I was actually there Sunday volunteering, and somebody actually did come looking for an animal, but there was no one there to adopt the animal out. So, of course, by then, there had been a rescue of 70-plus animals, so the only ones left were probably ones that probably wouldn't have, you know, been looked at or adopted out. So those are personally my concerns, and before, I personally would like to see all of that addressed before we even entertain anything to be shared costs. And I'm sorry, I don't have the contract in front of me, but I thought there was very specific information, too, about what the county would be liable for versus what the city would be liable for as far as capital improvements and those kinds of things, like large repairs to the fence. Because, again, the original structure, there were animals that our kennel tech was trying to keep an animal in. I was actually helping him keep because it was jumping over. So we chased a little dog around. But those are my concerns. And like I said, anybody who knows me, I mean, it makes me upset, though, that I'm even having to say that. Because like I said, I was a huge proponent of this, and I don't feel that it's in the best interest of the city right now. So I'm actually a little taken aback as far as even having an adoption coordinator when your first entry was the fact that there wasn't really a platform. Yeah, that there wasn't a platform for adoptions, and that transport was our best solution, because right now that building, that multi-million-dollar building or million-dollar building, is literally a holding facility for transport. That's literally all it is. It's not an adoption center. It's not an advocacy for animal welfare. It's literally a holding facility. And, you know, and it's not a secret that Hand-Me-Down Hounds, or Dr. Baston for that, isn't fond of Texas owners anyway, because, I mean, there's such a large, saturated, irresponsible area of, you know, owners in Texas in general. So that's why they're sent up north, where there's actually, a demand for animals, because they're saturated here. So the fact that we would even entertain even an adoption coordinator kind of concerns me, if we're really not planning. I think the 2019 projection was 10,
yeah.
10 something maybe. Mm-hmm. Like community event 6. I'm not really sure what community event that was, but I don't remember seeing an adoption event, so I don't know what's falling under community event. Maybe there was and I just missed it, the response, I'm not sure. But that's just my personal opinion, just from me being up there. But like I said, I don't feel that I should feel a stranger in a city facility. And like I said, and especially when I understood our chief of police to have been questioned by a county employee why he was there, and then there was some other information that wasn't even factual, that to me is a huge issue, and is actually substantiating some of the claims from other members of our community that have gone in there.
Okay.
So, like I said, I have a huge problem, and I'm very apprehensive of entertaining those shared costs with, not only with what you said as far as the adoption not even being there, and the city of Schertz was even having problems.
If I may point out, it is not an adoption specialist. It's an animal placement specialist that includes both transport and adoption. Right now, with the Kennel Manning, we cannot do adoptions because I am already working my staff 60 to 80 hours a week, and you have so much overtime on your staff that it's exceeded the budget. There's no time for personnel to do adoption events.
Which goes back to literally that facility then is only a holding facility. So we should stop with the whole animal care. There's zero, or actually not animal care, but animal facility, and that's what it is. It's a facility, only holding facility for county and city. I mean, that's literally what it is, because if you're saying that, again, I know what it was like before, and so do you, and I've got you know, even on Facebook, memories that come up. There was an event. We've been had a back-to-school event then, and the week before, the weekend before, there was something that was held at the shelter. You know, so I understand that part. I'm just saying that if, okay, so it's not an adoption. So there you just said it. So it's literally a holding facility. So basically, you're asking for the city to go into a share of 20% for somebody to set up a rescue, like a rescue to transport out. That's really what that is, not even animal.
If the city of Kirby is unhappy with transporting animals out, we can go back to the old adoption system, but I promise you we will end up euthanizing for space because we can't get that many animals out.
That was supposed to be stuff in the beginning.
I'm sorry?
The original plan of what this was supposed to be in the first place.
But
I think that might have been a bigger...
But that's what I'm saying. So basically you're saying, though, that there really isn't an avenue for adoption, period.
There is an avenue for adoption. What I am saying is that our adoption potential is far less than our transport potential. If you look at, first of all, I think you have some facts wrong. Kirby personnel can adopt out animals. They don't have the time to adopt out animals.
Let me stop you there. Chief?
No.
Andy is indicating that I'm incorrect, that our staff can adopt animals, but they're too busy. Is that factual?
I have always been told that JC is the only one.
That's right.
Who told you that?
JC.
Through JC
and the staff.
I asked JC that very question, and she said, when Monique asked me that question a week ago, when we had our phone conference, I asked JC that question, and her response was, no, Kirby staff can adopt animals out. They don't have the time to adopt animals out. Adopting an animal out requires vetting the adopter. That's a 45-minute to an hour
really got
process.
Some bad information going here, sir.
I'm not really bad sure information. At this point that we're in a position to make any decisions
on
this.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and the point was to hear the presentation
right,
that was being proposed, because anything that you know they proposed in their county budget, it does affect us
right.
As well. So we don't have to.
I think we need to put the brakes on, and we need to get back together. And now that you're back and have another meeting with JC and this gentleman here and find out just who has the authority to do what, because I was told by that lady to my face that she was the only one that could.
And we're not even open on weekends.
That
to
she
adopt.
Was the only one.
How
yeah.
Do you adopt an animal
and she's off on Sundays and Mondays, and there's people down there on Sundays, and she's not there. So how can you? And most people.
That is
on
one of the reasons for the placement specialist is so that we can not completely overlap JC and this new person's schedule. So that we can cover more time.
But you just
now, as far as having the kennel open for longer periods of time, again, JC is typically there until 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night.
But not Sunday and Monday.
Aren't showing up to do it to adopt animals.
But not on Sunday and Monday.
That's true. Those are her days off.
Yeah, the other people are putting in the overtime, but the boss isn't.
I beg your difference with you. JC puts up
sat there in that
puts
it like watch
50 hours a week.
That's exactly what you said. Let's put the brakes on this until we can get everything settled and get somebody up here that can actually give us the answers that we need to have.
I want to see the hour sheets.
I'm sorry?
I want to see the hour sheets. The time sheets.
I'm not understanding what. You want to see your time sheets?
Sure.
I will ask that question.
Please.
Let's just stop this now.
Okay, and back to the yard.
Well, the design of the fence was improper, and so now we've got to make up the difference.
This one?
Yes. So you're saying to put those back on that one? Mm-hmm. In the back, where the dogs are at.
Right. Mm-hmm. On the back side.
And the other pieces that are the gates where they're coming through?
They're going over.
Like the actual end kennels. You know how it's...
The interior gates has some gaps on the sides.
Oh, those interior gates, we're looking at trying to repair those as maintenance actions,
just
not capital actions.
Okay.
And yes, we're also looking to put some tops over some of the kennels because we have climbers. But those are looked at as a maintenance action, not as a capital action.
That definitely needs to happen because it's true. If you volunteer to walk an animal, you have to walk them on their leash because they'll go back in and they like to run free.
Yes. Yes.
Unless they know commands to sit, they will run free.
Well, I'm with Kim, Ms. Aldridge, on this, that's something that county should have covered. He already said that they had an oversight on that. That shouldn't be anything that we're spending even 20% on cover.
When is commissioner's budget due? Or when will they be voting on theirs?
It's being.
I mean, I know it's like ours, but are they on the same?
We're on the same fiscal year, but our budget has been vetted by the staff as of today.
So is theirs proposed like ours, Monique?
Yeah, it's proposed right now. He said it's on the agenda next Tuesday.
Okay.
Not necessarily final.
Right, it's not final. Okay. But will our August 23rd? Will that be too late for them?
No.
Okay. So can we bring this back up? But can we all get a copy of those numbers so that we can see those? Anybody else have a question? Monique? No. All right, thanks, Andy. All right, item C, discussion and possible action on an Eagle Scout project at Friendship Park by Richard Hawking, Scouts of America, Troop 1412. Mr. Hawking, are you here? Oh, there you are. You have the floor.
Make sure you keep it clean.
What?
He just came so
far. Oh, okay. I have pictures of my project, if you guys could pass me around.
Well, a Lego. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that works.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, sir.
My name is Richard Hawking. I am currently a Life Scout of Troop 1412, working on my Eagle Scout. For my Eagle Scout project, I would like to build a pergola in the Kirby Friendship Park. More pergolas are needed in the Friendship Park because they provide a structure for families to relax under, away from the sun. Also, pergolas bring and add a naturalistic beauty to the park. Throughout my childhood, I have seen the park change to what it is now. As I was a little kid, I can remember the park just having a few swings and a slide. And now it is a wonderful park that is appreciated by the citizens. The pergola that I plan to build would bring the community together under a alluring piece. First, I want to inform the council about the specifics of this project. The measurements of the pergola will be a 10 by 15 feet pergola. It will have a head clearance of 7 feet and 4 inches, and an overall structural height would be 8 feet 9 inches. The posts of the structure will be a 4 by 4 pressure treated pine. The beams will be 2 by 8 pressure treated pine, and the rafters will be 2 by 2 pressure treated pine, and they will be separated by 2 inches apart. The pergola will be placed near the basketball court on one of the cement tabs that are already there. This will allow people to have a place to relax after playing a game. So in conclusion, my pergola will be a wonderful addition to the Kirby Park. Any questions?
So tell us about, although you told us about that, so how long have you been in scouting?
Well, I don't really know. I joined when I was 12, so 4 years.
So have you done other projects before?
No, ma'am. Well, I helped other scouts with projects, but I haven't done my own.
This is your project?
It is.
Yes.
It's my own Eagle Scout project.
Designed and put together by you?
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
All right. I was about to say. I was going to ask you if you...
Do you know exact location where you want to place it?
I don't have a picture, but I do have an exact location.
On the basketball court.
Right.
I was out there this morning trying to determine. I know you said next to the basketball court, and I know on right side there are two concrete slabs that both have trees. Are we talking about in one of those areas?
Yes, ma'am. On one of those slabs.
One of the slabs, right?
So
Yes.
That's what I thought.
I guess my little question would be, we just need to maybe get with our public works director to make sure the tree won't be affected by the height.
Yeah.
Well, one of them wouldn't subject the tree to anything, right? Yeah, but the other one would. So, yeah, whichever one you want to pick, probably the one that wouldn't subject the tree, you think?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Good. Otherwise, you'd be working in a tree.
Yeah, you'd be having shade for shade. Right.
Overhead.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But do we need to accept this, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I make a motion that we accept this young man's project.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept Mr. Hawking's Eagle Scout project, excuse me, of the pergola at Friendship Park. Is there any further discussion?
As long as it gets with our...
Yes. Thank you. City Secretary, please call roll.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing that project. Right, item 7D, discussion and possible action pertaining to an agreement between Texas Spartans and City of Kirby for use of Friendship Park. Is Brian here? Oh, there you are. I was like, I thought I saw you.
Yeah. Hi. Well, what you want me to tell you?
No, that's fine. So this is just a renewal of a existing lease agreement that's already, that will be expiring. And so this would be for a two-year agreement. It will currently expire on August 14th, and this would, if we approve this, this will allow it to another two-year agreement.
2021.
Yes, and so we do have all of the required information. Yes, the all of the insurance is there, and also he has included a schedule of their games that we can see those. So I will entertain a motion to... this agreement.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the agreement to renew. Oh, I lost my place. Yeah, to renew till 2020 for the Spartans.
2021. Okay. Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept the agreement between Texas Spartans and the City of Kirby for use of Friendship Park. That will enter a two-year agreement expiring August 2020. I do have a question. There was an issue during our firemen's picnic with that area, so I just wanted to make sure that that didn't need to be put in here as far as...
Well, if you wanted to... change to, because currently when we have those events, we do utilize that area. So if you wanted to prevent us from doing that during city events, then that would need to.
I just know that that was an issue for their field that they had kept with the trucks and the barbecue.
Is it a necessary area?
Well, I'll let Chief Alfaro maybe answer that. Could y'all do without
the football field?
I don't know where else we would put all of them.
Okay.
I mean, we tried to get the passes in the cul-de-sac down there, but they're so far away from everything. You know, and I think the discrepancy this year was the actual sideline itself. It wasn't the actual ball field itself. It's my understanding.
I'm still fixing the field from where they drove on it, drove around, and everything else. So, okay. I mean, I'm still fixing the field. But behind the goalposts, it's all flat. It's a perfect area. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, it's 5, 6, 7, 8 acres out there. I mean, there's lots of area. Even behind the pavilion, it's flat, it's nice, clean. I mean, there's a lot of area other than just the football field.
Well, and I mean, the reason that it was inundated this year was because it was wet. I mean, I think if it would have been dry, I don't think it would have.
No, last year it didn't rain, and the trash, the where they throw the coals out, it burns the grass. I mean, in our league, if they come and deem that field unnecessary or not good to play because of ruts or anything like that, they're going to cancel a season. And they'll cancel a season on 150 kids because they're driving through the field and they're driving.
Even when it's fenced off, they drive around the fence. They don't, I mean, they don't have any respect for the kids or y'all that take care of the field. Myself takes care of it. Public Works takes care of it. We all work on that field. Everybody else just drives right through it.
So before we get to, that event, can we all get together, like Gilbert and Brian and Chief, and that way just make sure that we know exactly where those perimeters are and exactly what's going to happen, just so we can prepare for that. And we can have those talks beforehand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because I do have pictures of the hot coals and stuff like that, even in the cul-de-sac area that he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I have pictures of all the roots. I mean, it was completely tore up. I mean, it's still, I'm still fighting that field right now. I mean, I plant, I water, I clean, I put dirt. I mean, I'm having dirt delivered tomorrow to help fix that field. But then one event comes through, and all the work I do, my volunteers, Gilbert does, it's washed away in a day.
So if we can just be mindful that while they're in that area, that before we have an event, let's just get the parties involved, just so that we can have those discussions, just to make sure that it's good for everybody.
That would
right?
be
and
good.
I'm sorry, Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge motioned, and who seconded?
Grant. Okay.
All right, so motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept this lease agreement between the Texas Spartans and City of Kirby for use of Friendship Park. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Item 7F, update discussion and possible action on the Kirby Senior Center report.
Skip E.
I did skip E, sorry. Discussion, I'm going back. 7E, discussion and possible action on review of code compliance ordinances and enforcement procedures and timetables. I will turn this over to Councilmember Grant. He had a very specific what he wanted to address.
I wanted to give the code compliance officer, I guess, a good way to say it is a better toolbox. We've addressed this before, but we've learned another lesson from the same landlord about time. And what I would like to have is a review of the time periods that something has to be done by. If it is a health and safety issue, such as a roof, fire alarm, you know, I'd like to see it cut to 72 hours as with the other cities. If it's not done in 72 hours or addressed or good faith is not put into play, then it would give the code compliance officer more discretion, but you also have a shorter time period. If it needed to be extended because of extenuating circumstances, then she could do it. But I would like to put it in effect that, for instance, my neighbor, who doesn't live there anymore, my house right to the east, it's been empty for 2 years. This man will not cut the grass. He's not a responsible adult till this lady gets on the phone and calls. Well, I have mice in my backyard. I have possums in my yard from my ex-neighbor. And, you know, here's the thing. I'm sure that we're not the only one. There's many people in this city who don't live in this city anymore who have property that really they don't see the teeth in it. So my suggestion is, if it's a health and safety issue, cut it to 72 hours, excluding weekends, okay? If in 72 hours they don't address it, then the ticket's in the mail. Then they can have the inconvenience of coming to Kirby to mow it and coming to Kirby to go to court. And maybe if we inconvenience them enough times, then a lot of things in our city will get cleaned up, and it'll give her more power. And that's exactly what I think she needs. I think she needs the ability to tell these people, hey, the ordinance reads 72 hours. That's it. I can't do anything else. However, you have the authority, if you want, for an extenuating circumstance, like an elderly person, things that are common sense. But people who continue to keep on waiting till this lady almost goes to their house and takes them and puts them in the truck and brings them over here to take care of their property. It's ridiculous.
Do you have
Yes.
Specific situations that you want, because we can also send it to Mark.
Yes.
And then
that's what I want done. I want to, what I want him to, what I would like to do is to review the time periods for an infraction, whether it be just what you would call normal, to cut that down. I think it would, how many days now, like if, for instance, if you have a code violation that is not a health and act safety issue, what's the normal time that you give the people?
There's all different times. Name one.
Well, that's what I'm asking. See, that's what I want to do. That's exactly what I was trying to figure out.
An empty house with a pool in the backyard that's been mosquito haven.
That's a health and safety issue.
I think I know what house you're talking about. There's two. But when it comes to foreclosure homes, it's a little bit different. Because those homes are in foreclosure, okay? So when we get a foreclosure home, there is no property owned anymore. It's the bank.
Yes.
The banks do not want to talk to you. On some occasions, I have gone banks to talk to me, but they won't tell me because it's personal information. We can file liens against the house, and that's what we've been doing. But we usually get Public Works to drain the pools.
And the charge
is cheaper.
But what I'm talking about is what I would like to do is consolidate into one time frame. A normal, what you would call, why not?
It depends on what you're doing. Like for grass and rubbish, like stuff like that, which is, well, rubbish for the health and safety, grass if it gets too tall because of the rodents, we have a 10-day time period is what we can do. State law allows us as a city, a municipality, the home rule city, to make it more stringent than
That's exactly my point. What I'm trying to say, I understand exactly what you're saying. And I'm not trying to I was in the business with the city of San Antonio for a number of years. And they finally condensed everything into one timeline. There's two infractions. There's what you would call the normal and then the health and safety. The health and safety is 72 hours minus weekends. The other is 5 days minus weekends.
I think with the roofs, Councilman Grant, it's not going to get done in 72 hours. Not with them having to come get the permit, get the plans and stuff like that. It's not going to get done in 72 hours.
I say address it. We understand now, a health and safety issue can be addressed in 72 hours as long as they make a good faith effort is what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay.
Okay, just for instance, with the fire alarm. For all any health and safety issue.
Okay.
And now, for instance, we've been dealing with Main Street properties. I mean, I don't mind talking about the guy because, I mean, he's really not a very good person. And he will take advantage of every situation that you give him. I've dealt with the man before on evictions as a constable. And the only thing that gentleman understands is one thing, money. So if we decided, and I'm just throwing this out there, if we decided to revoke everybody's COO in that building because it doesn't have a fire alarm, he's not going to, what do you mean? He's not going to get
well, right. I was just saying, it did get fixed 100%. It is fully operational and running. The fire alarm.
When did that happen?
3 days ago?
Well, no offense.
Was it yesterday? Oh, yesterday.
Okay, well, no offense to anybody, but you think somebody, that information needs to get out then?
Sorry.
So we know?
It did just happen yesterday. The fire marshal came out. I did speak to him on the phone earlier last week or the week before that, and I did get on to him and say, look, this needs to be done. There were agreements made within council. He said it was on order. He got it fixed. With the roof, he's got his permit for the full roof, and it's going to be starting shortly.
And also, but now the tenants are continually replacing the tiles. The tiles are part of his building. They're not responsible for those, and they should not be addressed on that issue. He should be addressed on it.
That's civil stuff. I can't do that. That is all going into whatever their contract is with him.
No,
but I have brought that up.
Okay.
And what gets hard with him is he wants to throw out his lawyer, and at that point, I can't speak to him anymore.
Well, then what you do is that's fine, is just address that. I've addressed many attorneys, mm-hmm. and it's real simple. You write them the letter, and you tell them how simple it is. We're going to revoke all the COOs. The rent will cease immediately. until it is taken care of. Same thing with the bank. Whatever bank or holding or mortgage company is holding the foreclosure, you have the right to address them directly in writing, and you have the right to tell them exactly what action you're going to take, because the property cannot be sold, moved, transported, anything until all liens are met. So the more liens we put on these properties, like the swimming pool, you will be amazed at the people that will come out and suddenly fix something because they can't move the property. So what I'm saying to you is, yes, you can. You can, whoever has that property right now, whatever bank, mortgage company, whoever it is, they have an officer assigned to that property that you can speak with directly. And all you do is address them with the lien and file it right away on the property. And it doesn't have to be to an individual. And if you really want to, you can still go to a Bexar County Appraisal District and find out who the property is being foreclosed on, the person, because that's public record. And I've done that many times. But really, the person responsible for it is the lending company that's holding the mortgage, that's running the foreclosure. And whoever that officer is, you can correspond directly with them either in person or by mail, and you can advise them that we're filing the lien for draining the pool, we're filing the lien for mowing the grass, everything, and each one as individual. And I'm not trying to tell you your job, and I apologize if I sound like it, I really do, but what I'm saying is you've been maligned too many times, and I like you, and you're doing a good job, I think, because I see things moving, but I know you've been going to school, and I know you're trying your best, okay? So what I'm saying to you, with my limited knowledge and what I've dealt with before, I believe that if you have a proper toolbox, that a lot of things in this city can change. But it takes the fact that we need to back you up. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you. It's not anything more than that. We want to give you all the authority that you need to take care of these people that continually take advantage of our city. And we live here. They don't. Do you think they give a rat's butt what our city looks like? No, they don't. I do. I live here. Everybody here does, too. You do an excellent job. You're doing a yeoman's position, and you should have a helper, and you don't. And that's the way life is at the moment. But I think that if we give you some more tools, a little more help, give you the backing that you need, and Mark gets on this, and we try to... In other words, what I'm saying is we're going to give them the most constricted time we can, but give you the discretion as an officer if you decide that you want to make an exception because of extenuating circumstances, then you have that.
So what do you want Monique to send to
Mark?
To Mark,
I would like to see all health and safety issues addressed. What I mean is not a ticket, but addressed.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Would it be acceptable to give us a couple of weeks to
absolutely
address with the city attorney through Monique to see how far, how narrow we can
yes,
do these
times? That's what I want, yes.
But if not the next August agenda, but maybe the first agenda in September.
That's why I was asking specifically
work.
So that it's not just a...
No, it's not immediate. I don't mean immediate. Yeah. What I'm saying is I want it looked at so that when we do it and we act on it, that we're doing it correctly.
Yeah,
I was wondering if Councilmember Grant had specific items that he wanted to address because it's so broad. I mean, the attorney could be just looking at anything.
Well, see, right now, if you look at the different ones, there's three different. I think right at the point in time, there's three different time spans that address different things.
Mm-hmm.
I want to consolidate those into one, to two things. One, either health and safety, and or what you would call a normal violation.
We'll double check and ask him to double check to make sure that we're doing it in accordance with
exactly.
state law.
And state law.
See how far down we can narrow.
Correct.
So to shorten the time frame and also accelerate the fine base,
correct.
If possible,
right.
Where applicable.
And repeat offenders are accelerated.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, like I say, if we make it to the point that, you know, they're inconveniencing our city right now. Everybody out there that has garbage, lets the grass grow on the property, they don't live here, they don't care. It's us. It's our house. Time to clean house. Time to give her the authority and the chief there the authority to do these things. I think, you know, we've been inconvenienced too much. We have people come in here with their sob stories. I don't care anymore. Mow your grass. I don't care. You know, the house nobody lives there, that's not my fault. Fix it. you know, or sell it.
So the basic, so the basic ones.
Full-time position.
So basic, the rubbish, the vacancy, the
everything, like the swimming pool, for instance.
Structural
and I don't think that she even knew that. And I tell you what, I had to find that out the hard way about foreclosure. But I found out that through the state attorney general's office, and they told me, that's where I got the information from, that you do have the ability to contact whoever that officer is. Go ahead. No, you're good. You don't have to raise your hand, dear. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to put an open record, but I'll state an open record if you want. I was going to meet with them after council.
Let me do it.
Do you want to do it?
That's cool.
Well, here's something that we are working on to kind of help us with this here. Is it tomorrow?
Yes.
Sergeant Alonzo and Officer Thompson have been invited to San Antonio's DART. They're going to go serve a municipal warrant to address a lot of the concerns we're talking about with the abandoned houses and that sort of thing. So they've been invited to tag along to see how that works.
Oh,
and
good.
That organization is a collection of code compliance, San Antonio PD safe officers, the fire marshal, the health inspector's office. All of these, they get together with the city attorney to come up with a civil warrant that allows them to go in and shut down, foreclose on, or actually seize. We're actually doing that tomorrow. We're going to send a detective and her down there just to go along with them, sort of like a ride along. And they've been to what, two other meetings?
We've been to two meetings about it. We're learning a lot. Mark Schnall is definitely going to have to get involved and maybe go to some meetings. It's a lot of stuff on the civil side with the attorneys with San Antonio. But it's all about the administrative warrant in the local government code. So we're learning a lot through them. They're going to be a great avenue for us to get all these foreclosed homes or homes that aren't even foreclosed on, homes that where they just blatantly just don't listen to the warnings. They pay their fines, don't pay their fines. They continue to do it. This is a way that is going to stop. There's going to be stipulations put on top of it. If they don't meet the stipulations, the city will seize the house, and we can either turn around, demolish it, or we're going to sell it. It's going to benefit the city and go to our fund.
Can you learn this through the classes you've already attended?
With the SAFE officers through San Antonio. It's a DART program.
And I understand you just finished and got certified as?
Official code enforcement officer, excited.
Very good.
But one thing real quick, you were talking about all these foreclosed homes. I can't always figure out what bank owns these homes because I can't get a hold of anybody. The letters come back as they don't live there anymore. It is impossible to figure out what bank owns that home until they post something on there.
Isn't the lender listed on BCAD?
No.
But I know how. I'll get with the chief.
Yeah,
I know how to do it.
We've run into situations where mortgage companies have sold the mortgage to other mortgage companies.
Like seven times.
Yes.
Passed hands. And even I, the house on Petrie, for example, I finally got a hold of somebody who was responsible for that at a bank or a mortgage company.
Nation Star.
Yeah.
And they refused to talk to me, identified who I was, why I was calling, and I even tried it this way. I'm trying to help you out. That residence is fixing to go to our P&Z. They're looking at demolishing it, filling in the pool. The response was, do what you think you need to do. So.
And on top of that, I did contact Nation Star. I used some verbal judo, I guess you can say. What's happening is that property is being switched between two different foreclosures. Either I'm going to buy it out, the owner is saying, or you're going to take it from me. So when they go to court with her, she keeps flip-flopping, and this is what's taking us so long. But I did get an update a couple months ago that it's going to be actually bank-owned, and they're going to be paying the liens. I told them how much the liens were as of a few months ago when we last had the original records. So we'll see.
And again, I know that you've been staying on top of these things, and some of them, there is always extenuating circumstances. Always. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But I learned a couple of things. Sometimes you can get a civilian involved that is actually interested in the property, and you'd be amazed what they will tell you.
Oh, a lot of people want to buy that Petrie house on that block.
That to me would be considered safety and hazardous because
of
the pool in the backyard.
Right.
And the guy next door has his little children and everything else. Mm-hmm. And what was that thing called? Oh, yeah, Zika virus?
I remember it.
Bubble it. Fill it all in.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about, the 72 hours. When you bring it to that, it's a compressed time. But it only is for Because you, they need to react. They need to come to you now. Mm-hmm. And they need to sit down with you. And now you're on this side of the table, and they're going to come to you. Mm-hmm. And then you have the authority as an officer and the discretion to either extend the time or say no.
So if we can just have Mark meet with the chief and Officer Thompson, and then bring it back on our September. Is that good?
That's fine. Oh, no, that that's great. I just want to see us move, you know, just
if,
do it
if
right.
If that's feasible, if they... That's what I'm saying. I don't want to...
Okay.
And I've noticed four cars that have moved that were stored on the street, and that's good.
But if, it can, if he can address those specific, not do a turn, because we've had this before, and it comes back full circle, and nothing's really different. So if we can just have him focus on specific...
Monique, what I'm saying is take the, there's three timelines right now that we have. Bring it all into one. One timeline.
There's actually four.
Well, yeah, actually, there. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is four. I guess you're right. Yeah. We want to do health and safety as one, and then just what we call the normal as the other. Okay?
10-4.
Thank you so much for your time.
No. Thank you. All right. Now item seven.
Now the senior center here.
I know. Update, discussion, and possible action on annual Kirby Senior Center report. Norma's not here.
Nope.
Anybody going to speak to that?
No.
I didn't want to assume.
My name is Roger Romans. I'm on the board over at the Senior Center. With your approval, I'd like to step forward and present something to council.
This was the letter given out
to. Oh, okay. You do have that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Miss Hammy, the manager, she'd like to extend her apology for not being able to be here tonight. She had some personal matters she had to attend to. She asked me to go ahead and address y'all. She had received a memo from city manager. It states city council requested you provide your annual senior center report at the August 9th meeting. This would include a review of programs, expenditures, projects, etc. from October 1, 2017 until now. Now, I don't know when council requested this. I'm routinely here at council meetings, so I'm going to go ahead and just give an overview. Some of the things that in the previous year, we don't have a compilation right now as far as expenditures from 1 October till now. That's somewhat proprietary of that nonprofit. If there's council members that are interested in specifics, she requests that you come on in and talk to her, because that's information there that this is probably not the proper venue to discuss and organizations' expenditures and that. You know, it's, if y'all feel it is, well, go ahead and let me know. I don't have that information.
Basically, this was an opportunity for the center to share what's happening at the center, since many of us can't attend your board meetings since they're due to the time that you hold them.
Okay.
So basically, you know, there's things going on at the center.
With the letter that was provided, we are continuing to provide meals to the seniors. Last year, we provided over 3,500 meals to seniors at the center. The Senior Center continues to facilitate Meals on Wheels. The numbers have gone down a little bit from last year. Last year, they did over 12,000 meals in the city of Kirby. We partner with VIA, providing close to 5,000 senior and handicapped persons with trips all over Bexar County. Now, that's not just Bexar, that's not just Kirby. That's all throughout Bexar County. Food bank. This program here does not include the special activities. We had one of them today where over 80 households in Kirby and the immediate area were provided with different types of different rations, different commodities. But last year, in excess of 1,400 commodity packets were provided to seniors here in the area. At the center, they continue to provide games, various activities, arts and crafts, line dancing. This afternoon was movie day. They have an exercise program over there. They have information, educational stuff going on for nutrition, health, and services available in the area. We get information from ACOG. We provide that to the centers, to the seniors. And we have also opened up a library over at the center. Much like the local lending library, we have a senior library where they, use the book. Got a book, bring a book, need a book, take a book. It's a conduit of information, and it's also a daily cooling center for seniors. We've had a number of people that have had air conditioning units go out, and they come down to the senior center. It's a nice place to relax and enjoy camaraderie, and when your air conditioning goes out, it's a nice place to sit and just be able to relax. We'd be more than happy to have some of the council members come on down. If people want specific information, that's for to speak with Norma, and she can give that information there at the center. Are there any questions of the programs we have going on?
What are your upcoming events? I know that y'all had the back to summer, welcome back to summer.
Right. Well, we do have every month, at the end of the month, the birthday celebration. We just recently had the luau. They're going to have at the end of this month, I believe the theme is, what is that? Yeah, it's the 50s and 60s, kind of the poodle skirt, Scott, yeah, sock hop type deal. And that's the type of stuff that we try to bring to the seniors. And the center itself is on a daily basis an area for companionship, activities, but the center itself isn't there just doing that. It's also providing these other activities that support not only the city, but residents throughout the community with transportation and commodities. And these are things that we plan on continuing doing. One of the things that we're trying to work with VIA is getting a new vehicle to specifically facilitate transportation of seniors within the city. Part of that is getting a volunteer base of drivers. We're working on getting a new vehicle there so that we can better provide transportation access to the center and also provide transportation to the seniors for weekly shopping runs, having more of the, whether it's going to HEB, Walgreens, local, things that some of the local seniors have a hard time doing. And these are activities that we just are planning on continuing to support. And our intent is to keep the doors open for as long as possible. Any questions?
Chief Alfaro, does the fire department still have the fan program?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're aware of that as well, correct?
We do provide fans. We do provide through ACOG. They provide a lot of information, a lot of programs. This information is disseminated to the seniors. We are a conduit of information to seniors, and they really have no place else in the city to go to get this type of information. A lot of them have questions, and they just come on up and they look for places to be directed to.
Right. That's why I was asking if you were aware of that program.
Oh, no, and we've been giving out fans for numerous years, and we continue to do that. That's just one of the things that is available not only through the fire department, but also ACOG has provided access to different avenues for these type of deals. And you know, I'd be more than happy to have some of y'all come down to see what's going on a daily basis.
And that's why you're here. That's why we asked Norma to provide, because, again, not everybody can go down there during the day. So that's basic. That was basically the overview that...
But on the expenditures, that's not something... This isn't a proper venue for that to be brought up. If people want specific information, then she's the person to speak with. And the city manager is more than welcome to come down to, you know, one of our board meetings. If she's got, if there's information you specifically want, by all means, have her come on down, and that will be provided. Any questions?
Nope. Okay,
thank you.
All right, item 8G, update discussion and possible action on Republic Services garbage carts and recycling. I will entertain a motion to table this until our August 23rd meeting.
Mayor, make a motion to table.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge to table item 7G, update discussion and possible action on Republic Services garbage carts and recycling. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Yes.
Councilmember Gray?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Mr. Martinez, they will be here on August 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
We hope.
Mm-hmm.
If not, maybe you can just speak anyway, and then we can get that address. All right, 7H. Discussion and possible action on National Night Out being moved to Friendship Park. We had tabled this item previously for Councilmember Grant. It was suggested that due to the construction on Ben Zingelman that we move it in that area from that area to Friendship Park in order to make it more feasible and accessible to our residents. So last year we did have one, or we had locations at Hugo Lentz, True Vision, and the Senior Center. So there was three locations last year. I don't know if you want to, if your suggestion is to consolidate all of them.
No. Each, let the individuals continue with their own. The only reason I'm saying it because right now we've all of a sudden started this phase here, and I know there's good and bad to all things, but at least for this particular one, and no telling what this situation is going to bring with the street, at least for this year, I think we ought to move it to hold our part in the Friendship Park.
So we had our part at Hugo Lentz. So the city was at Hugo Lentz,
right,
and True Vision,
right,
and the Senior Center conducted,
right,
an event there.
Right.
So are you saying move Hugo Lentz and True Vision to Friendship?
Well, no. I mean, it is true, but True Vision sponsors their own, correct?
They were actually sponsoring it for
the city. Oh,
so
well, no, then, yeah, move both to there, then. Whatever entails the city sponsored for.
Yeah, so the city was actually the city, it rained last,
right,
horribly, but so each group was at a central location. The police officers were able to make it to the Senior Center as well. So I didn't know if you wanted to move.
No. Just whatever the just
to,
yeah.
Friendship or keep it that way, or.
Well, I think that whatever the city sponsors and we bring our people in, because even at Hugo Lentz, the parking it's still a parking thing. That's the only thing I see. I think more people would come and stay, if you know, if they could park and come in.
Plus, what's going on, Ben Zima, what you stated earlier.
Yeah. With what's going on there.
Yeah. What's
so,
going on over there?
You know, it may not be the most, and I can understand Cosmo Wilson's thoughts on that, and even taking that into consideration, at least for this year, move it there, and then once the road and everything is complete,
we can go back
to our other way.
I liked it, well, we weren't here last year, but I liked it divided up. I've done in one position forever. But I really like it when you're dividing it up into areas, because then you're really going to meet your neighbors. And, you know, you're going to meet over here. This group goes over to Hugo Lentz. This group goes over to the Senior Center. And then Borchers in that area go to True Vision. I think that you're getting more people to come out to go to certain areas, you're never going to have parking that's going to satisfy everybody.
Oh, no, that's true.
And I think back way back when I was in charge of it, the other group was, it was rented out for National Night Out. Didn't they rent it out? Sunrise.
I'm sorry. Oh, rent out for sure.
Yeah.
They
didn't rent it last
year? No. It was vacant last year.
But I like the idea of getting out to try to meet your own neighbors, and I really would like to see it eventually go far, split even farther and have some, you know, and just have block parties and not just one big thing. I would like to see it eventually get that way, but that's a lot of work.
Well, yeah, but the thing is this, the only thing that I was thinking about is that we have specific things that were only specific to, like, I'm trying to think, they gave out shower heads and different things like that. Well, those, what I'm trying to say is I understand, and I don't have any problem with meeting your own neighbors. I think it's a good thing. But also we have the different sponsors like Grande and all them, they're only in one place. And so people come to participate with that stuff. So that's what I'm saying. You can meet your neighbors because I'm trying to make three or four different places. But then again, a lot of people congregate like that one year, the fire department. I don't know what came, but it was fire department who it was. They gave out shower heads.
And
city. Yeah, different things. The city. So, yeah. And see, that was only at one place. So what I'm trying to say is then if I understand that we to keep, okay, let's back up. At Friendship Park, the focal make that the focal point of where the sponsored things come, like Grande, the people that give out the ice cream, all that kind of stuff.
Like the vendors?
And the vendors. Yes, there you go. Thank you. I was looking for that word. I couldn't think of the word vendor. Where the vendors come to. That way everybody in the city could come to that, participate in whatever's given out. Like the fire department, they've done hot dogs. Well, they don't do hot dogs at each individual one.
Well, what we ended up doing last year is Hugo Blitz was that location where those booths or those sponsors set up. But we did split up the resources as far as refreshments and the goodie bags that the police department was giving out. We provided some of those at True Vision and some at the Senior Center. But then the Senior Center was running activities, and then True Vision was running activities for kids.
Okay.
So if you're suggesting instead of the Hugo Lens, just move that part.
Right, exactly. Whatever the focal point would be, because I went up there, and again, you have, again, it's limited parking, so that what I'm trying to say is meet your neighbors, but also then you have a focal point to come to participate in what the city is sponsoring out there. You know, that's what
so
I'm trying to say.
Hugo Lens.
Yes.
To friendship.
Yes.
It'll still keep everything else going.
Correct. Yes.
Well, that's
excellent then.
I haven't visited with the Senior Center at the time yet, but we can very well set their activities up in the park.
Yeah. I think the more that people can get together, the better it is to know your neighbors. I mean, you know, just like he moved the DPS guy that lived behind me that got broken into. The guy runs through my yard. We know each other, but yeah, some people still don't know their neighbors, and that's kind of a shame. Yeah. So anyway.
All right. So, would anybody like to make a motion?
Well, thank you. I'd like to make a motion, and we move the. How do you want to address that? The city focal point, or?
I would say that the motion would be that you make Friendship Park the main location.
There you go. Yes. Just exactly what she said, I make a motion.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant to make Friendship Park the focal point of the National Night Out. Seconded by Councilmember Pierce. Discussion?
And with that, I think that we really, really need to advertise communication.
Oh, yes.
There are banners, there's flyers you can put out. I think that we need to communication.
Correct.
and have all of the locations put out, but.
All right, so we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to move the National Night Out for the focal point to be at Friendship Park with the other avenues as well, the other locations as well, but for the Friendship Park to be the focal point.
Exactly.
Any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, so we can start advertising that now. All right, item 7I, discussion and possible action. I'm actually going to open I and J up since the applicant is the same person.
Same, I was going to say.
So I'll open both of them up, but 7I and J, but we will vote on them separately. So discussion and possible action appointing a member to the Beautification and Recycle Committee, and discussion and possible action appointing an alternate member to the Buildings and Standards Commission. Donna, you want to? So Donna has put in an application for the Beautification and Recycle Committee, and we do have members in attendance. We have Sam and Barbara here. Is there any other representative from them? Okay. I just make sure you didn't miss anybody. So Donna has put in her application, so it is in front of you. So if there are any questions, Donna is here too.
If she's a volunteer and she's nice, take her right now. Don't just don't let her get away.
And as you know,
lock
Donna,
the door.
I want to open that for discussion.
Don't lock the door. You're in.
And Donna's also, if you recall, Donna has actually been here quite often,
yes.
Even when it's not an action item, as far as the Kirby Little Free Library. So I will entertain a motion for 7I for this is for the Beautification Recycle Committee.
I make a motion we accept this nice lady.
Second.
Which one? Papadaka. Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to accept Donna, or excuse me, appoint Donna Jaya to the Beautification and Recycle Committee.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Yay, Beautification Recycle Committee. You'll have one more. I know.
Let me just make a motion now.
So item 7J, discussion and possible action appointing an alternate member to the Buildings and Standards Commission. So this is one of four positions available. Is that correct, Monique?
Yes, four.
Okay, so this is one of four alternate positions available for the Building and Standards Commission. I will entertain a motion.
Make a motion. We accept Donna for the Buildings and Standards alternate position.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to appoint Donna Dry as an alternate member to the Building and Standards Commission. Any further discussion? Would you like to say anything?
No. No.
All right. I will have our City Secretary please call roll.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Welcome to that committee, too.
And you're here, dear. Thank you.
Very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Item 7K, discussion and possible action on fund balance policy revisions for the City of Kirby. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Have a copy of the fund balance policy that was approved a few meetings ago. And if you recall, the purpose of having the fund balance policy was to really have something written down. It's a good practice for all municipalities about how much we keep in our fund balance and what those funds are used for unassigned net position and restricted spending. However, that policy that was approved, our auditor, finance director, and I met with the auditor, and there were some suggestions to make some changes that would keep us in current compliance. For example, in the originally approved policy, it talked about not keeping more than 6 months in reserve, otherwise that would be considered excessive. However, the state government finance requirements actually want you to have 8 to 12 months.
Really?
So 6 or more would not be excessive. That was one change that was made. And then there was just a description of the unassigned net position was edited a little bit to be more compliant with what the law says. And then in the purpose on the very first page, instead of just calling it this fund balance policy, fund balance slash net position policy, because it really addresses both for the city. So these were just a few minor changes. It also, under assigned fund balance, it talked about the city council authorizing the chief financial officer to sign those documents. She felt it was more important we specify it as the city manager, because even though that says that in our charter, it's just to be more clear who that person is.
Also heard her say there was $160,000 being put back in to our budget. Did she not say that?
So when you said, as far as our charter, when you said that that's what our charter says, since that's what our charter says, does that not have to stay in line with what our charter says, even if it is a different wording?
Yes, what the charter does is describes the position of the city manager, and talks about all the things. So it wouldn't be in conflict if you just said, you know, the city manager really is the chief financial officer.
I was going to say that, that's the way it is.
But if you're separate from the charter, you could read that if you may think that's the finance director.
Correct. That's why I was asking. Okay.
They're just asking to ask or asking for clarification. Ask. I'm just curious how they said that. See, that's what I when you said that I'm going, but it's right there in writing. Do we not read?
I guess if you don't have those two documents side by side for like.
Okay.
You know,
I don't know. I mean, it was pretty cut and dried when I read it, and I'm thinking, okay. There you go. We're playing dictionary, you know that, right? Well, I make a motion we accept the changes.
Second.
All right, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson to accept the fund balance policy revisions for the city of Kirby. If there's no further discussion, will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant? Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
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 Yes. Item 7L, discussion and possible action on personnel policies manual revisions. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Okay, so I provided all of the proposed changes in the policy that we discussed last meeting, and it's really 4 or 5 pages, actually. So start with page 46 was the first proposed change under the donation of sick leave area. And so he reviewed our language, and he just added one line because it was the recommendation of us deciding how many hours we think an employee should maintain of their own sick leave if they're going to donate. So that right now is left blank. We also drafted some forms, the actual sick leave donation program with the donation form and then the request form. And we edited that a little bit, and the copy that you were emailed is the one that was approved. We would also need to fill in the blank on that one. So if council wants to decide, do we feel an employee needs to maintain 20 hours of sick leave, 30 hours of sick leave, whatever number, we can just fill that in before we approve that.
Are increments only used in hour in 1 hour increments?
Increments only.
Okay.
Right.
So when you donate or when you receive, you would only be able to do it in 1 hour increments as well. Another thing to keep in mind is that our policy only allows an employee to keep 480 hours a year. So that's 60 days. At the end of each year, if you have more than 60 days, you lose that time anyway. So they could have the option of donating their extra time if they would like. The form also has a provision on there for employees who are leaving the city. They would have an option if they would like to donate their remaining sick leave hours, they can, or they can decline to do that at the time of charter.
Did you happen to ask him about that one specific, about if somebody turned in their notice?
And yes, if they had okay. Yes, so that one fell under resignation on page 70. And so they said they were okay with this language that could very well say, couldn't say they could not take any additional leave, but you could very well allow them to forfeit any vacation payout that they accumulated if they left without finishing out their entire 2 weeks notice. However, it said, I mean, that's an option, but if people know that in advance, what would prohibit them from putting in those requests, then turning in their resignation?
It's so, yeah, you're that way. It's a catch. It's six of one, half a dozen of the others, they say. So, you just leave that one like it is, because that's just, as they say, it is what it is, kind of thing.
And unfortunately, I do think that would probably happen.
Yeah, well, anybody with sense would do that.
It actually does.
Yeah. So,
what do you think is a good figure for someone to maintain, not go below?
Councilmember Wilson was actually the one who.
Yeah.
Had brought that up, yeah.
Oh, you want my opinion?
Yes.
I think at least 20 days.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Because you just day here and a day there, and it's gone. I'm actually still kind of belittled about it, because if I'm understanding, you don't get paid. It's a benefit to the employee. And so, but when you resign or you retire or whatever, you don't get paid for your sick leave when you leave. If you have accumulated your total amount, I think after that total amount, when you're losing it, then you could donate it. But I've just seen too many employees come and get to that point and use all their sick leave, and then you're going to say, well, you know, you donated 200 hours. Well, the 200 hours somebody else grabbed up, and so I don't have any. I at least 20 days, because
so you're saying 160 hours.
Well, how many hours
that would
you
be
say 160. You could accumulate before you lose?
480.
See, that's a bunch. That's how many days?
60
days, right?
Who was the department that brought it up?
The fire department.
Because I'm presuming it's used in other cities, correct?
I think they have pools in other cities.
Well, almost everybody I know has a pool.
But those are big, you know, they have a lot of money to accommodate that type of sick leave being used, and they have more employees to be able to do it. But if we're going to say, you know, well, I'm going to donate instead of losing, I understand donating once you get to your limit, and then you're dropping it off every month. I understand that, but I think we need to protect our own employees, and
but I mean, basically,
it's not it's a benefit for them from the city, but they're not getting, it's not being a paid benefit where if I retire and I have 2 months, I'm going to get 2 months paid.
Right.
You lose your sick leave.
The benefit of it is really for those employees who just may come across an unexpected illness, and they don't have enough sick leave to cover that illness, and so that can be a financial strain on them because they're not able to get paid for the time off. So it's really to give them an opportunity for their coworkers to donate to this pool to help them.
Well, you know, if even 20 is too short. We should maybe just take the 480 and cut it in half.
I'm just personally, as an adult, which I'm presuming, you know, that all of employees are of that age, they would know, or at their discretion, you know, what they want to donate and what they want to keep back.
I just think that if it hits, they need to be protected. You know, the PD had someone who was never ill.
Exactly.
He had his sick leave and was losing.
Right.
He had so many hours, he was losing it.
Right.
And he got sick. And if he would have donated half his time, he wouldn't have had any time. But there was other people who were sick and needing hours too. So maybe that whole pool would be used. And this person thought, well, I was doing good donating my hours, and now I'm lost. I don't have any more hours.
No,
and I know that you're saying we're all adults, but I feel like we as a city need to prepare to protect our employees. And, you know, when we did get sick and you had people who needed time, people donated their vacation time. People stepped up and donated vacation time to cover it.
And I guess it's just really foreign because I get 5 sick days and I've never used, you know, so I get 5 a year, and if you don't use them, you lose them. So that's
if I would have been employed with my knee surgery, I would have been out for 6 weeks.
So
if I would have donated my time, I wouldn't have had any time. And then, like I said again, you have somebody who may have maybe they're only 2 or 3 years and get sick, and they don't have enough sick leave, so they're going to pull, you know,
but that's a
5 or 10 days out of the
discretion,
pool.
Discretion, right?
But it's only at a discretion. But I just think that we need to protect our employees. And like I said, you know, it's a benefit for the employees, but if they leave, they don't get paid for it.
No, it's just there
for a benefit for them to say, hey, I get sick leave. There's a lot of places that don't get sick leave.
Yeah, and that's what I said. And if I left my company, I wouldn't get paid for that.
At the railroad, they don't provide you sick leave.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's not a lot of companies that pay you when you leave for sick leave.
A lot of places do personal leave and not sick leave anymore.
There are a lot of places that just have personal leave instead of sick or vacation.
Right.
They just put it all one lump sum.
Yeah,
more like annual leave. Because I tell you what.
Somebody throw out a number.
Yeah, I think it ought to be at 240. Because, I mean, you can get a person, half. Because you can get a fireman, a police officer, you can be perfectly healthy and get injured. And then you're going to really draw some time, you know. Yeah, so there's a lot of things there. So I think that half is good, 240. Okay, I missed the joke. Anyway, 240, I think.
Okay, so is there an agreement of 240? Yes? Okay. So that's a minimum that they have to have banked.
Correct.
Before.
Yes.
So how long does it take for an individual to bank 240? If, providing you never use it.
Yes.
You get 8 hours. Oh, you get 8 hours a month.
Yeah, the month.
Oh.
Month, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, to get to 480 takes a while.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So 2 years, you have to bank 2 years before you can even do
it. Yes, correct.
If providing you never used it.
Right. Yeah. So that pretty much takes care of it.
But at what point do they lose it?
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, they lose it.
Like at my employer, on my anniversary date, I can only roll over 40 hours. Anything over 40 hours, I lose.
Until you get to
480.
So when you've banked 480, then you lose anything
after that. So for 4 years, if you've never used it, after 4 years, you would lose your time.
There's something wrong with that person.
You think?
That would be me.
Chief, I see you raising your hand. Please stand up and.
I'm that person. I've done it twice.
I've known.
I've done it twice. I've lost.
You need to take more vacation.
Let me bring you my pet rattles.
I need to leave.
All right, so we have 240. Is
yep.
that correct?
Yep.
All right.
Yes.
Is everybody okay with
That's
that?
That's the minimum.
All right, so we fill in that blank with 240.
There you go. I want to know the joke.
She was
going to. Oh, I got you.
Instead of eating math, it was just funny because she's like, what am I doing?
What's the other blank?
That was
the
same blank that we filled in on the actual system. Yeah. So they'll match the policy.
Okay.
And these forms would be just like an attachment to the policy for anyone. So if they want to request it, they would go to the finance/human resources to request the forms.
And there you go.
FMLA leave
employment during the duration of their leave.
That's the family.
Take off the part about even if previously approved, and that's really understood. If I have an outside employment request to file, I work that job as long as I'm working for the city.
Correct.
So on FMLA, it's understood I can't do that.
No, time for time. Yeah.
Right. Okay. We had no changes on page 51. That was approved as is. And again, on page 70, no changes, but again, just that suggestion that, if you say no new leave will be approved, just keep in mind that they may submit before they submit the
right.
Sure. Okay. Let them figure that one out.
Yeah. All right. So are there any questions regarding those revisions? All right. I will entertain a motion on the personnel policy manual revisions.
Make a motion. We accept the personnel policy manual with the revisions that were stated.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept the personnel policies manuals revisions. If there's no further discussion, will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember
Alfredo?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Great. So did those go into effect immediately now? Okay. All right. Item 7M, update, discussion, and possible action on Benzingelman Road construction project.
City Engineer Mark Hill is
present. Good evening, Council. Mayor, the project is still moving slowly. Spoke with the contractor today. He's wrapping up his concrete flat work around the curb returns. Expects to have the concrete delivered Monday or Tuesday. I know there was an issue today with the traffic control and him going outside the limits of our first phase. That was a conversation he and I had Friday. We spoke to him, and hopefully it's understood now where he needs to be working. But other than that, topsoil has been placed to 80%. Sodding should be coming soon, and he should be ready to start asphalting in the next week or two.
So regarding the traffic control today, Gilbert, did you go out there?
Yes, I actually stopped and was told they could not proceed until they get proper traffic setup put out there. And which they got signs from the other job site put up. And finished when I, by the time I got there and saw what they were doing, my foreman got up there and told me a little bit earlier. I was doing a little bit of catch up this morning. And he told me that what they were doing. I went out there and talked to them. And they didn't have much left to build. The building process don't take too long, and it's a short stretch. So when I got there, they had a small amount to do still. However, I did stop them and instruct them to put up the signs. Once they do that, they can finish. I also reminded them that they were not given any permission to move on to phase two. But I guess it was a miscommunication, and they thought they could build. So I instructed their project manager that we need to be on the same page, and I need to be notified of anything that goes on, whenever there's a change or they're going to move to the next phase. Although I go out there and inspect, there's some times where I can't get out there until later in the day with my other applications. But as far as today, they did put up the signs and they finished. It's my understanding they were going to put up the signs and finish when they went out there. They didn't go to the grab signs from another job site.
Okay, so they started the job even after you ceased or told them to stop?
Yes, so well, they were already almost finished with it. So
I know, but you told them to stop.
They did stop. And they stopped, they put up their signs, and then they proceeded with the last little bit that they had. And then.
So did you go out there again to make sure that the signs were correct before they started again?
No, I didn't. Today, I had them stop, and he was out there, and I had my guys actually going around. They said they didn't see it working until, I assumed that they weren't going to continue working without their signs. After that, I continued with another obligation that I needed to complete the paper. So I can't sit there and wait for them to go across San Antonio to give me an idea and finish it. So, and again, they would have that small little stretch. I didn't want to totally stop them and leave it because there would have been just enough room for a car to drive on, and then we would have to drop on the side like that. So I went ahead and allowed them, once they got those signs and they were instructed, not to move forward.
But that was a continuation of phase two, was it not?
Yes, and that's where the miscommunication, I guess, happened, the misunderstanding.
About them starting at phase two when they weren't supposed to start at phase two?
They were instructed that they could start on getting the survey or the grades on there.
Right.
And apparently, I don't know how you confuse these two, but it got confused with going something. And the proper setup was not there. We weren't given the proper 48-hour notice to notify our residents of the change in the traffic setup that was going to occur.
Yeah, because I'm just going to be quiet.
So, yeah, that was, again, by the time I got out there, they were so almost finished with it that I kind of had to, we had to allow them to finish as long as they had their signage. And, again, I stayed there waiting for a while, and they weren't moving, but I would stay where they couldn't see me, obviously. They weren't moving, so I went ahead with the assumption that they're not going to start until they do what they need out here. Again, they do have the understanding that I'm here, my guys are here, and it's a small town, and we're everywhere, so I'm confident that they didn't get moving forward until they had the problems.
And I have a huge problem with the fact that our city manager gave a directive, no phase two should start, and the fact that you gave them the directive that they were not to start the phase, and they basically said, screw both of y'all, and started the phase. And that is exactly what they have done from the minute that they broke ground on that project. And when you were here last, we voiced our concern, our residents voiced their concern. Today, the Senior Center actually had an event where there was a lot of traffic going down Allen Shepherd.
There was no traffic control where they were pulling up that stuff, because I got out there, I started talking loudly enough, and all of a sudden these guys started jumping up to go out there and start doing their flag, put their flagman in place, and move the cones over to make sure that traffic was one way or the other way.
And then the trucks themselves, so actually Councilmember Wilson had actually gone across Ben Zingelman from Allen Shepherd, and the machine continued to go down as they, underneath her car, or over the top of her car.
As they're dropping the roller, or what do you call it, where the dirt goes up? Yeah, the hopper. Yeah, the conveyor, and dropped it down, and it was less than a foot from the top of her
vehicle.
So,
again, the fact that they are disregarding, blatantly disregarding, is not acceptable. Yeah. That is a blatant disregard of our city manager's authority, a blatant disregard of our superintendent's authority, and quite frankly, a blatant disregard of the authority that you have over the project, which is absolutely not acceptable.
Right.
The trucks, I know for a fact that they have had many conversations, or at least that's what we've been told. We followed a vehicle today, a truck, that went down Ben Zingelman, up Crest, down Happiness, up Kirby Drive, down Cinderella, on Ackerman, on Seguin, up 78, down 78, turned left on Springfield, then went back left on Ben Zingelman.
What was this truck? It was a
Collie? It was a Trump equipment truck. It was the one that they were actually putting the asphalt after they did that.
And sometimes
that was their route?
That was their route.
Sometimes it comes down Ben Zingelman to Allen Shepherd to Bill Anders to Charles to.
And I know that they feel, and I know that he feels that he doesn't have to answer to the city council or any government body, but he absolutely does. That is a huge project that we have. It's affecting a lot of the main thoroughfare through the city. Again, we have residents that go to the senior center that frequent there. It is absolutely in the right big middle of that. We have residents whose yards are being eaten daily with grass being thrown. They don't even know when they're going to stop tearing up their grass because they keep getting higher and higher. There looks like one's being built a retaining wall. So that's what I'm saying. There's just, I know we keep saying miscommunication, but there is absolutely zero reason with as much, description and project oversight that was supposed to happen with this
I mean, we were told from day one, this is a TxDOT project. It will be overseen. It will be scrutinized because it's also, you know, our city staff has to sit there and cross every T and dot every I in order for the city to be funded for that project. And if they're going to blatant disregard, I just think that something needs to be done.
We can write a letter, put them on notice.
And I thought that our sidewalks had to be ADA approved, had to be a certain width. But if you walk down Ben Singelman, they're not all the same. Some of it's narrow, some of it's wide.
But that's per plan.
It's what?
That's per plan.
So then what happens if you have a handicapped person and they can't
It's
go
still
through?
It's still ADA acceptable.
I'm going to say
ADA acceptable is 3 feet wide. They meet that requirement. Mm-hmm. We double check that measurement. There's a couple places where there's some trees. Mm-hmm. It's either cut down the trees or shrink down the sidewalk.
So you said 3 foot?
3 foot is the minimum. Well, if there's an obstruction, it's 32 inches. Or 24 inches wide.
You've got to remember that when the next project comes up for Ackerman Road. Which, that's what I think we need to do right now, is start seriously thinking about.
Trees, how far behind... About? How far behind schedule? I mean, I'm looking at the schedule, but it's super far.
They're a month behind. A month behind. Ed, when I last spoke to him, he said that they may be behind by right now, but they can catch up.
Okay, and that's my concern, because if they're catching up by blatantly disregarding the directives by the authoritative entities, then I absolutely believe they should be put on notice, because it's absolutely ridiculous that the residents can't even, I mean, we have one that's not even getting mail. They're delivering it across the street because they can't even get to her mailbox. We have those that can't, they're not standing there with the traffic to even have the traffic, and we absolutely can't have our city staff minding them 24 hours a day, or at least the construction time. I know that our chief of police was there as well today. And again, like I said, Councilmember Wilson was there. I witnessed her almost, her top of her car almost getting hit. And the guy is just flagging people through the stop signs and not stopping anyone. So at one point, there were two cars sitting in the intersection of Ben Singelman, Allen, Shepherd, like staring at each other. So, I mean, if they're going to have people on the job site, and it's not, I mean, if this is the way that the jobs are overseen, it's absolutely unacceptable and ridiculous. And I think that the city, as well as Ford Engineering or anybody else, should be very concerned about the contractor that's, or the subcontractors for that matter, that are doing this job. I mean, it's not acceptable at all. I'm extremely disappointed, again, that the directive given by our city manager was basically not followed at all, because that was absolutely what we were told in phases, that one phase would be completed, so that street would be open, or that section, and then the next one.
Correct. The way the plans are set up, yes.
If the plans are set up that way, we approve those plans as an elected official representing the city of Kirby. That's what needs to be done. So Ford Engineering, the contractors on this and everything else need to be held liable for everything that's going on, because we're entrusting the decisions, the daily operations, everything else with the people that we have here. If we start getting rumors back and it gets back up here, then it's not rolling the way it's supposed to be, something bound to happen. And like I said, those other projects and everything else are going to get really scrutinized. Really, really big. Not happy at all.
So what is this letter on notice? What does that stipulate?
We can put them on notice for deficiencies in following the contract. Essentially, it gives them a warning that if they continue this way, we can terminate the contract. But there are... By doing that, we have to coordinate this through TxDOT. We'll follow the contract the way it reads, and it's their red warning. I'll have to go back to the contract and see how it reads and what they have to do after we issue the notice.
Just out of curiosity, why can they not maintain a decision maker while they're doing business on our street? There doesn't seem to be a decision maker there during the whole workday, and that, I think that's probably the biggest thing with the communications. I mean, do you have a contact person that can make a decision, or that you daily?
Well, there's
for the 8-hour shift.
Yeah, Fermin Mendez is there, and then the model that's there. And at times, most of the times, it'd be Fermin that I would contact or call. Sometimes we end up playing phone tag because he's not on the job site. They have appointed someone.
That's what I'm saying. Is
yeah,
why
that's
model. And there's sometimes where he has subcontractors out there. They have model out there to oversee the subcontractor to make sure they're following suit because of an issue that we had in the past that I brought up to him and saying, hey, this can't happen. Well, the contractors, when they took out all the driveways, you know, in phase one, and they're like, well, the subcontractor thought he could do it. I said, no, you're inconveniencing everybody here because he's biting off more than he can chew. Now, this is your subcontractor, but you need to have a representative here to handle it. And they had that person there. And the model's there, and then if I can't get a hold of them or he's not there, which is hardly ever the case because he's always there, I usually go straight to Fermin. And there's times, I guess he's in a meeting or something, he usually calls me back within an hour or two or sometimes right back. It just depends. But there is somebody there overseeing their subcontractors. When I spoke with the subcontractors as of today, when I said, hey, stop what you're doing. You have no you have not been given any authorization to move forward here. They were like, they just told us to come here and do it. They just told us to come and do
okay,
it.
Okay, but you know what my point is, and not to keep beating the dead horse, but who is they? You know, I mean, they is in our, you know, I know what you're saying. In other words, what I'm saying is I want to find out who is Mr. They so that you deal directly with that decision maker, and it's, and I hate to say the word, but normally it isn't, but concrete, that we know exactly what's happening, you're aware of everything, and there is none of this, well, they said. You know, in other words, bring me they to bay.
That would be Fermin. When I say okay, they, it would be Fermin or Mr. Roy.
And again, and I really hate to rag on this. I do this daily. I'm downtown right now at a big hotel where old Gilbo Street is nothing but deliveries and everything, and I'm directing the traffic there. These guys couldn't flag their way out of a wet paper bag. I came around to the stop sign. The guy is just, he's talking to another guy with his little red flag just doing this.
Yep.
I mean, we're going to have an accident and somebody, we're going to get sued, they're going to get sued. It ain't going to happen.
When I contacted the city manager today, there was one lane barely because the cones weren't even set up correctly. And then they were having through traffic with two sides of traffic in that less than one lane. And I actually sent her a video of that area because it was absolutely ridiculous. Like I said, if there is somebody that's supposed to be overseeing it, I don't know where they are because otherwise they would have seen that truck go through that area, followed it through the city, and seeing them go on the back streets of Bill Anders as well, coming on through that, because that road in itself, just all those areas over there, are absolutely torn up again. And those streets aren't even part of this reconstruction or construction project, and all of those streets are being, even on Buzz Aldrin, you know, that area there, they're going through there instead of staying on the main road. So at the corner there at Buzz Aldrin and Ben Zingelman, because of the fact that that one says no through traffic, and that section of Buzz Aldrin to Alan Shepard says closed. I mean, closed. There's people still going through there, and they don't live there, but the flag people are just waving them on.
If correct me if I'm wrong on this, this being a textile project, they should have those classes, right, for flagging? They should be.
They all should be certified.
Who's a representative be certified that would oversee this project?
The engineer on the south side.
Yeah, Leah Jacobson. So I'll give her a call.
Well, here's the thing. They have to be a certified flagger, and they're all supposed to have vests, and they don't. I mean, I hate to rag on this, but like today, this is insane because I take the detour like everybody else. I come to the stop sign. Two guys have a conversation. He's just doing the flag like this. One guy's here. I'm here. I told the guy go ahead, and then I came in behind him, and the deal was just finishing up. And they were not diverting the traffic. There was nobody on the other end.
When I arrived to the job site, when I stopped everything, and the person that was in charge of their model, when I spoke to him, as we were talking, a car went in where they were working. The guy's over there doing that, and you know, I explained to him, look, safety is essential. Okay, everybody needs to be on top of their game because, you know,
doesn't matter the amount of money or what lawsuits or anything, somebody's going to get hurt.
Right.
They didn't have the channelization of the street correct. You know, it's a moving job site. They didn't have it set up the way it should. And Fedmin, Mr. Mendez, came and I explained the same thing to him, that we cannot do that. We cannot move forward when you feel like it, or, you know, you can't move forward and be doing this job and this type of work with four people on the job site and no signage and not properly flagging. Not to mention there is the road closed right there between phase one, and then you got traffic coming out of that from the homeowners that live there, and then right outside of that you have the flaggers, and then traffic coming this way. It's a bit confusing.
What's disappointing and is the biggest thing is this is the exact same conversation that we had at the start of the project. They haven't even, I mean, the project on phase one isn't even done, and we're still having the same conversations. So the fact that we're literally repeating exactly what we said before. It was the traffic control. It was the fact that the trucks are going through the inner city. It is the exact same thing. Nothing, absolutely nothing has changed.
No.
So, like I said, either they don't care or they're not qualified to do what they're doing. And they were given, you know, the approval by not only Ford Engineering, by TxDOT as well. But either they don't know what they're doing, or they're just intentionally not caring to do what they know they're supposed to do. It is the exact same conversation. Our city manager, our superintendent, our chief of police have been dealing with this from day one, and they have spent way too much time on this same subject over and over. We're building resident complaints against Ben Zingelman to the point to the residents are saying, I'm sorry for calling you again. Which, to me, that's what we're here for. But at the same time, we shouldn't have to be fielding those calls, nor should our city staff have to be utilizing all of their time to oversee something that we believed were professionals when we were said, or when we were suggested that this is the company, this is the group that's going to be able to do this job. But we are here tonight again going over the same exact problems. And it has to stop. It is absolutely ridiculous.
And I hate to beat a dead horse there, but with all due respect, one thing TxDOT can do, they can shut the job. If they pull up and they're not in a vest, they're not properly set up, all they say is that's it. And, I mean, that can be an indefinite thing. And an engineer can drag his feet and he can do a lot of things to hurt us all and really set us behind. So, you know, let's get these guys to get to Academy and get that 595 vest and get the proper flag and pay attention to what they're doing, please.
Tomorrow, because this could go on all night, but tomorrow I'd like for you to at least reach out to our city manager and please explain have another conversation with SAC and a very direct conversation
not
with them.
At that point anymore, are they? They're going to finish phase one before they start tearing up the rest of that road again,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And then follow up with our city manager so that, because tomorrow's Friday, so the weekend's here again. So please follow up with our city manager so she can disseminate the information to us of what was said. So hopefully we don't have to be in this situation again, because Ben Zingelman is a long stretch and it's coming down to Council Member Grant's area. So
please.
He will be all in the middle of it as well. So I just think that it has to stop. This is just it.
Absolutely.
Does anybody else have any further discussion? Gilbert, do you have anything else to add?
No, ma'am.
Whatever you need, you ask. We'll get it.
Chief Boyce, do you have anything to add to this?
Oh, I said whatever. You know, we want to help.
Based on the conversation I heard and the observations that I don't think I could add anything more. I spent some time out there myself, saw some really scary stuff. Like one of the flagmen, I think his primary job was a backhoe operator, because he kept putting flags on behind the backhoe.
In other words, there's nobody designated there, and the TxDOT demands that you have people designated as flag personnel. And they don't do other.
Okay.
With a moving situation.
Right now, they would call it Tino, and we would raise this because I don't want to withheld their last payment until they show my personal phone calls.
That'll work.
They're upset right now, but I'm like, well, we do.
Hello.
And again, that is something that our city staff shouldn't have to be.
It gets everybody's attention, doesn't it?
I mean,
yeah.
We just shouldn't be in a situation where we have to stop somebody's payment because they're not doing the job that they were being paid to do.
There
because that's taken our finance director and also our city manager's time as well.
I just told them don't even call them back until they return my call.
See how that works?
See how money works?
Is there any further discussions?
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right.
In.
Yeah. All right. Item 7N, update and discussion on the City of Kirby certificate of deposit. Will you be taking this one?
Yes. Okay.
I'll turn this over to our city manager.
We wanted to be able to provide council with some information about what our current certificates of deposit are. You get our quarterly investment reports, but I wanted to be sure everybody understood how this worked. So within our general fund reserve balance, we have a certain dollar amount, and in that dollar amount, it includes two certificates of deposit that we currently have for Shirts Bank and Trust. One of them is for $500,000, and the other is for $250,000. And so they're on a yearly basis. One just matured in July, and the other will mature, or just matured this week of August. And so just keep it in mind when we look at our reserve fund balance, that $750,000, which is in the CDs, is included in that fund balance. And so in the event of an emergency, if we needed to access that cash, we could do that. Of course, there'd be a penalty to access it, but we still have that money available. And so when we were looking at, when we start working on our budget this evening, we're looking at, you know, how much is in our beginning reserve fund balance. Just keep in mind that that $750,000 is included there. It was mentioned earlier when Ann was here from Hilltop that we talked about keeping that $750,000 as a cushion to put toward the bond debt payoff for next year. There were suggestions even from our auditor about taking that entire dollar amount out of the beginning reserve balance for this new proposed budget and just keeping it over as a cushion and then creating our budget based on the remaining dollar amount. But finance director and I just weren't 100% comfortable with that because that's a lot of money and we're already accounting for the first bond payment in some of our transfers of the actual cash in the reserve fund. So we're comfortable with leaving those funds where they are and they're just accounting for the bond payment through a transfer. We're going to add a little bit to that to give us some cushion. And then by the time next budget season comes, we'll already have our amortization scheduled for the annual bond payments and we can budget that through our debt service and not have to touch those.
That works.
I just want everybody to know that you know, we have those funds in event of emergency. They're part of our reserves. We can use them.
That's instant liquidity.
Right.
Yeah. And that was something that I had asked Monique to go over because with the words that were just coming out and us seeing that, it was kind of like, oh, my God, you know. So I wanted everybody to understand that piece of it, so I asked her to break that down for everyone. All right, does anybody have any discussions regarding that?
Did good.
All right, we will move to item 8A, discussion and direction of the proposed fiscal year 2018-2019 budget. Tina has provided us with the most current proposed budgets, and I will turn it over to Tina.
Mayor and Council, I gave you an update on the budget from since the last meeting that we had. So as you see, our beginning reserve balance is, we put the $750,000 back in there. So that's why you see that change on the beginning reserve balance. Monique and I went through the revenues and you'll see some changes and all the changes are done in yellow. And some of them we felt like that we are, at this point we're not getting as much as we should or, you know, for example, the beverage tax, we brought it down. Bingo tax, we haven't had bingo in a while. Well, not since I've been here. So we brought it down. You know, just things like that. So a lot of it may be $1,000, $5,000 or more, but it kind of adds up as you go along. So cable franchise fees, we went down. Building permit, we went up. And right now we're up, but we have some new businesses coming in, which is at QT and the doctor's office. But the next fiscal year, we're kind of thinking it's going to go up because of the middle school. Okay. so just keep that in mind. We went down on park fundraisers because we didn't get as much donation as we have in the past. City Festival, we went down on that as well. And that's all on page one. Page two, we went down on port technology. ESD, we went up 50,000, and that is for the new employees that are coming on board for the new ESD.
Would Monique, while we're there, would you explain how that piece works?
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay, yes. So currently we have a contract with the ESD, and in the current agreement it says that we provide fire personnel as well as provide vehicles for the fires. So we're housing that currently in our fire station. The ESD is building their own station, which they anticipate to open in September. And what we're proposing now is that for this remaining year of that contract that we amended, and that instead of them paying us $500,000 a year for the staff and the vehicles, that they pay us $550,000 just to cover separate staff housed at the ESD. And so that right now is proposed at 3 firefighters per shift, so a total of 9. And one Monday through Friday supervisor, which would be the assistant fire chief. And so that is all included, their salaries and benefits. ESD is purchasing all of their own apparatus, and they're also going to equip the fire station with everything that's needed, like bunker gear, supplies, and everything for the ESD. And so we will continue to have that mutual aid agreement in the event that we have to go back them up. We can do that. If they have to back us up, they can do that. So that is an opportunity that we have there. Now, tonight, I know Chief Alfaro attended that meeting. Did anything else change on that? It's just in...
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. And I asked them to the provisions that you had asked to be included in there. I asked if they could add that to the addendum and to send it to their attorney so they can turn send it back to us for review by you guys.
And what that was is when they sent the draft agreement, it talked about us providing the fire personnel, but it did not address that they were providing the apparatus. And so that's all I want that specifically written into the agreement, because the current one says we provide it.
Mm-hmm.
So the amendment needs to say that they're providing it.
Right.
I have a misunderstanding there. So when that's ready, we'll send it to our city attorney for review, and then we'll bring it to council.
Chief, were they good with that figure, with the additional monies?
I'm sorry?
Were they amenable to the additional funding?
Yeah, the city manager and Mr. True, the president of the board, were the ones the primary negotiator.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I didn't know he said the meeting.
And Tina was there, the finance manager was there.
Okay.
So between the three of them, they came up with a number that, for the most part, they agreed upon.
Okay.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted
if this was just for this last year.
Yeah, just for the 1 year, then we go again.
Next year, we would negotiate a brand new agreement.
Yes.
Potentially a longer one, maybe 5 years is what we were talking about. So then we have a little more stability. And
yes.
If we need to request more funds, we'll have an idea of what it would cost us in the first year.
So you leave the out to tweak it if you have to.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody have any further discussion on that? All right, Tina, please go.
Okay, and then we went down the impound fees. The CDBG grant, we revised that because we are waiting for the Hickory Hill, so that's what that one's going to be for if that gets approved by Bexar County.
When
hike and bike trail, since that is over.
Wait, when will we know about Hickory Hill?
Hickory Hill is on their August agenda, but the end of August.
Okay.
Commission's board agenda.
Right. Oh, no, you're fine. Go ahead.
Okay, so I took out the hike and bike trail since it, the project is complete. We are hoping to apply for the PetSmart grant, so we went ahead and upped that to $5,500, so hopefully we'll get that.
Well, we applied last week, so we're just hoping to get the funds.
Right.
And the interest revenue, our interest is going up, so I increased that too. I increased it. That's all I have for the revenue side. Do you have any questions about the revenue?
Is there a microphone?
Is it? Is it on?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you get closer.
Okay.
Yes.
I did not make any changes to the city council nor the city administration. I did make changes to the police department. I took out the full-time second records clerk and put it back to part-time. So that's the changes made to the salaries and benefits. Since we are only going to purchase one vehicle for the police department, so I increased the vehicle maintenance backup. And then I made the changes to vehicle for the one car for the chief. Any questions on police?
Anybody have any questions on that piece?
We're just moving money around, so it's, yeah.
Okay.
You're doing all right. You're doing good.
For municipal court, I just increased that by 3%.
Right.
And that's just on the salaries and benefits.
I didn't see that.
Fire department. The only change I made was to the hoses. They had 10,000, so I decreased it to 5.
And we took out the rescue jacks.
Yeah. Took out the rescue jacks.
Oh yeah, rescue jacks. Sorry about that. I don't have that note in front of me here. Animal services. There is no change on that at this time.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention one thing here. So the discussion that we had earlier when Andy was here, we didn't put any of those amounts into our budget. One of the things that we analyzed was that we looked at how much had been spent in overtime so far this year from the kennel techs, and it was like $7,000 that had been spent. So in his breakdown of hiring another kennel tech, the city's portion looked like about $7,000 as well. So that was
Do we have all three kennel techs right now working though? So they're all working right now. Okay.
Yes.
That the whole fiscal year were all of them working?
No.
We have one.
We short one for a few months. I don't know how long. But they have been full staff for the last several months.
Okay. I thought I had remembered that one was out on leave, so I wasn't sure if during that time frame that was another reason why there was an influx as well.
And one of the things that we also do, not just the county, but our animal control officer does go over and fill in for kennel techs when someone's sick or on vacation as well. So we do our part there also. But we talk to them about we have to keep overtime under control.
Right.
I understand they need more people, need more help, but that's money that we're going to need up in
So if, just say that we came back and we did agree to go and shared, where would that go under our operational?
No, we would, if we had a kennel tech, it would go in salaries.
No, sorry, not the actual position,
yeah.
Sorry.
If they were to go forward with the placement specialist, that would go into the contract.
Yeah, the 80-20 thing, right?
No.
Okay.
And then if the repairs, just say we went into that area.
Well, actually, I want to revisit that because based on what Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge said, I kind of glanced at the section that talked about maintenance.
Right, that's why I was asking.
It does say major repairs to the building, additions, structural changes.
Correct, and that's why I said I didn't have my that ILA in front
it
of
makes
me,
sense, yeah.
But it was specific that we would handle the minimal pieces like
things like painting,
correct?
Touch-ups, but it,
Yes.
It didn't make sense that we would do major overhaul to their building.
So that's why I was asking, because he was clearly calling it capital overlay, which is major.
That certainly was a design flaw, and we didn't have anything to do with that one.
So that would be down to the question there. Yeah.
Yeah. But we're the city, they're the county.
Right.
Okay, moving on to parks. I increased the vehicle maintenance since we took the vehicle out of the capital outlay.
Can you explain just that one capital outlay, that mower with broom, and why it says that specifically?
Okay. I know previously it said Skag mower before, mm-hmm. I changed it with mower with broom because that's what this item is going to be. It's going to be a mower with a broom for the hike and bike trail. I'm used to years like been doing this, I always make a new chart of account number so I can keep things separate. But I've been told that if it's the same type of item, to not create another chart of account, just, you know, use that. So if we already have one for mower, and because this one is a mower with a broom, just to use that same chart of account number. So I, instead, because it's not a Skag mower, I didn't want council or citizen to think that we are purchasing another Skag mower when we've already purchased it this year, but it is a mower with a broom for next year. So all I did was just change the name on that chart of account.
And then when I had met with Tina and Monique, I was trying to figure out why, if that was budgeted, why there wasn't a mower with broom bought. So that was the budget back then, so I couldn't figure out why, if the money was there, why he didn't get his mower with the broom. So that's why that piece of it's there.
Yeah, it's so just a name change.
It was a name change, but that's why I couldn't figure out why there wasn't a mower with a broom, because it said that we had amended it. I mean, that we had that $13,000 there for that, and that's why I couldn't remember any other conversation about a mower with a broom either. So,
and that's a very good question, because, you know, if it hadn't been asked, you would think that. So, yeah, it's a very good question. Okay. As far as streets, I took out the asphalt check.
I'm very sad.
And I also, that's it. I just took out the asphalt truck on the street. And if you go to general operation, the only change that I made is telephones. I increased it from 38 to 45,000. And it's not, y'all's is highlighted now, mine's not highlighted, but it is highlighted, so.
If we could just inform everybody what that line item covers. So the telephone actually covers all of the landline phones in the city, the fiber optic internet that we have, as well as cell phones. So there are certain employees that have on-call phones that comes out of, and then there are some employees that have cell phone allowance, and that's paid out of there as well. Went up a little bit because Rondé's bills went up.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I'm expecting.
I just wanted to remind you there's a couple things that we're still waiting on, and that is the health insurance. We have a bid opening next Thursday on the 15th, and I've been trying to contact TML to get our rates on the property and liability. So the insurance is the last thing I'm really waiting on at this point.
Have they given a percentage that they think it might go up at all? No? I know sometimes they haven't estimated.
They probably will, maybe beginning of the week. We open the bids on the 16th. It's usually a few days before that they'll contact us and tell us what
Ours wasn't a super increase, so I'm hoping that it'll be that for the city.
Well, I know the auditor sent me an email, and she said that Texas is projecting 22%. So that's a lot. I'm hoping not.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to put that in there, because I really want to choose big before we get to that point.
That is
important.
That's crazy.
But I just want to remind you I don't have that in there yet. Is there any questions about the general fund? Okay, moving on to the water.
Wait, hold on a second. Is there anything that y'all want to review, take out, add?
No.
No?
No. I'll ponder it.
Good. Okay. I just want to make sure that nobody, after we start something, that somebody feels that they can't go back. So.
Well, the only after our last council meeting, when we were cutting vehicles and things, the only thing that kind of, and I went home and was discussing it, is that when we took out a patrol car and gave the chief a car, I felt kind of like we're going backwards on keeping the patrol cars up and running. Because like I said last time, I've been at the PD when we literally tied with wire to hold the door shut. And I know it's not quite that bad nowadays, but I would prefer to use the money as a patrol car than as the chief's private vehicle to drive back and forth. Just because of our vehicles are old, you're driving down these roads, everybody knows what the roads are like, and I just feel like the guys, our police officers are more important. Excuse me, Chief, I didn't mean to say that, but I feel like the guys are more important with the vehicles that they're driving to make sure that they're safe in. And he's never had a vehicle to take home. And I know that there's prior chiefs that have, but I really believe that we're misusing our money and not letting the guys get a new vehicle.
Do we know what the age range is on the vehicles besides the ones that Prevention had bought for the detectives? The last vehicle we bought, then the vehicles were sitting there for years.
I think 2013 is the oldest top that we have on our books right now.
That's 5 years on a vehicle at this time right there.
And you know, they're running.
Two Tahoes, I think it's a 13 and a 14. Those are the two oldest, and they're also the ones that have the most expensive maintenance costs.
And I just feel, that's just, you know, and that's just my opinion. I think that all of our guys are more important. I think that we need to make sure that they're driving a vehicle that if I'm living on the other side of town and I need somebody that, you know, somebody's breaking into I would like to make sure that they have a vehicle that will get them there.
As long as it's not in the shop.
Yeah.
For repairs due to body damage or something.
Right. But I just think that maybe we had and I'm sure the chief appreciates having a vehicle to drive back and forth because that's maintenance on his own private vehicle. But I really truly believe that we need to keep a new vehicle in the rotation for the police department.
Now's the time.
If y'all make that decision, I'm going to have to go up on the vehicle because that's less than what I think it was $50,000.
Anybody else have any comments to that? Or
yeah, he had.
I kind of agree to that. I mean, it makes sense.
What's the dollar figure that we had allotted for the chief's vehicle?
We have $40,000.
That's what I thought it was, $40,000. So you're going to have to put about another 26 or 27 on that.
No.
But not if we cut out the vehicle for chief.
No, no, that's what I'm saying. No, no. You're going to have to take the 40 grand and put another 20 or 20-something on it.
He had actually asked for $50,000 for the patrol vehicle.
Correct.
Because there was the $40,000 was a chief vehicle, and then the $50,000 was the patrol vehicle.
You're still cutting out a vehicle. You know, he's not going to get both. But I really believe that.
So it would be at 10,000.
$1,000 increase.
I would say cut it back to 50 and get another patrol car.
As long as we compensate him for his personal vehicle, I don't have a problem with it.
I'm sorry?
As long as we compensate him for using his personal vehicle, I don't have a problem with it.
And it's never been done that way either. Either the chief takes home a vehicle,
or he doesn't take home a vehicle.
But they have, in the past, had a vehicle or been compensated for their travels. I know one lived out. We've had two of them that I know of that have lived out. But I just truly believe that my heart is that the guys need the new vehicle to drive.
Well, like I said, I don't have a problem, but, you know, I still think we should compensate him in some way or another for his vehicle. Either actual cost on gas or an allowance or something of that nature.
And currently he's the only department head, correct? Because both Chief Alfaro and Gilbert both have vehicles that they take back and forth.
Well, I mean, I
can go for part of their salary, too.
Yeah.
Which is going back to what you're saying about compensating. And if you do that, then having the chief's vehicle is going to be a lot cheaper than trying to compensate him for that back into a salary per monetary feed with the cash value based on that for the city itself. It won't equal itself back out to what's going on for them either. Because you have the insurance, you've got the gas, you've got the maintenance,
the 50,000,
all these things.
The 50,000 for the patrol, that was inclusive of everything to deck it out, right? That was totally outfit.
Where did he just grew to?
The fully equipped
car. Actually, that $50,000 for a turnkey patrol vehicle is pretty cheap.
Right.
It really is.
He has on here for a 2018 Ford Explorer.
Good. Wow.
That's the other vehicle we just bought last year.
Yeah. Was it $50,000 for that one?
Mm-hmm. Well,
like
a little under.
48 or 49, I think.
I was going to say, it was minus the graphics. Okay. That's only about $500, so. Yeah. Well, I don't have a problem with changing, but like I say,
like I said, now's the time to have that discussion so that we can give our direction to the city staff. Because if that's your direction in that aspect, then we'll have to give it back to Monique so that she can, you know, if that's what you want to do as far as compensation or at least a reimbursement for that piece of it. I mean, there's mileage, which is, I think it's 55 cents or something by...
That's why I said it's cheaper to have the vehicle and let him take it home than it's going to be to do the other thing too, because then you're being compensated because it's going to be part of your salary, and it doesn't work like it should work, like we all think it works.
We just need to give Tina a number to be our decision.
That's what I was trying to think of. You know,
accurately to the budget piece.
Because, you know, I think we need to sit and talk to the chief, find out how far he lives and figure things out, you know, what mileage is and actually, you know, so you get a real figure.
Well, I can allude to some of that if I'm capable of, because I went to the crime control prevention. He was going to take the $40,000 chief's vehicle that we were going to supply him for the chief's vehicle, and he was asking crime prevention for another $17,500 because he was going to outfit it for patrol.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Hmm?
To augment, that's what he thought.
Well, you got $40,000 plus another $17,500. So now that's getting. But here we're going to give him a vehicle for this, but then he's turning around and changing it back into a patrol vehicle.
So we have on this side, I don't know what's the consensus over here. I know there's two.
I think that we should move, do away with his vehicle and buy.
To put the 50,000
back in. Because even if you're saying that he was, this is what he was planning on doing, that proves that he really believes that he needs a patrol car.
Well, then you look at your other idea too for city administration that you had brought up once before.
Do what?
We need to look at your other idea that you had about city staff.
But I believe that's just showing that he needs the guys need a new car, and I believe that that's where we need to listen to and go.
So what you're saying is we're taking away and giving the chief a skateboard and putting a patrol vehicle in place.
I'm sure they're seized bicycles. That's a little safer.
The discussion now, Chief, is Councilmember Wilson had, we were talking about the police budget, and Councilmember Wilson has suggested that in light of things and in keeping with the program of continuing with new police vehicles, that we put back in make the vehicle for the police department an actual patrol car and remove the chief car.
Okay.
Councilmember Grant's suggestion, if we did that, was to somehow reimburse you for the usage of your personal vehicle, since you are the only department head that doesn't have use of a vehicle to and from work.
I mean, either way is completely acceptable. I mean, that's not a benefit that I've had before. It's not certainly not anything I'm asking for. And you know, if council decides to replace the patrol vehicle, I can very comfortably continue on the way I'm doing. You know, during the day when I need a city vehicle, I'll take what's available. I don't have an issue with that. In removing that chief's vehicle, going no further with that program, and replacing it with a full-blown patrol vehicle. I mean, that's
well, that's what the intent was too, that I brought up, that if we left the chief's vehicle in there at $40,000, you had asked the crime prevention district to add $17,500 so you could turn it into a patrol vehicle.
No, sir. That was never the intent. Okay. The change of it at $40,000. Like I said, the vehicle was never meant to be a fully equipped patrol vehicle. What prompted the change in the request to the Crime Control District was to use the $40,000 the city was considering to purchase a pickup truck versus a four-door car. It's kind of obvious I'm a little bit bigger than the average bear. And while I can operate a Charger, I owned one for a while, they're just not suitable. I mean, I don't fit in them well. So I had thought, rather than buying a vehicle of that nature, a smaller one, that I could use the money to buy the pickup truck and then seek funding for the equipment. And what I meant by equipment was some lights, some sirens, a grill guard, the same black type graphics we use on the stealth car, and a hard shell bed cover. So when I put my own personal equipment, like a weapons rack and my body armor and that sort of stuff in it, it was secure and protected. Okay, the vehicle was never intended to be a patrol vehicle. I think some people got confused on a comment that I had made. What I have been doing with the Crown Victoria up until the transmission went out is I used it for my own city business. I almost said personal business, but it was never meant as a personal vehicle. It was just my errands within the city. But on a day like today, I have one Tahoe at FM 78 Automotive having the rack and pinion steering replaced. I've got one Charger down at Industrial Communications having some electrical issues looked at. And the other Charger's deadlined for similar electrical issues. And once I get one of them back, so like today, I'm three vehicles down. I've only got seven patrol vehicles. So on the outside chance something were to happen right now, It's like, okay, here are the keys, go handle that and come back. It was never meant to be a patrol vehicle. But enough equipment on it, so if something happened, on the occasion where something happens in front of me and I need to make a traffic stop, it had that basic equipment. There was never a plan to put a camera in it, never a plan to put a radar unit in it, never a plan to put a prisoner partition so it could transport prisoners. So I think that comment that I had made, the fact that if I needed to do something with it on an emergency basis, you know, here, Sergeant Scurlock, take the truck, go handle that. It could serve in that function, but it was never meant. I've heard rumors on the streets about an attempt to circumvent the council's authority and get a patrol car when I was told I couldn't have one. That was never intent. That was never anything that was ever discussed. The thing was to do equip it in case I needed it for something like that. So, however the council chooses to do it, I mean, I'll be more than happy to continue on that. I will be more than happy to consider the patrol vehicle over the chief. I mean, to me, there's not a deal breaker on this. So,
actually, what you were just talking about with the vehicles being in the shop, that's actually what Councilmember Wilson was talking about as far as the vehicles that, when they're not up to date or what have you, when they're not more current years, then that's the problem, and obviously that's what's happening today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've let Officer Murphy take the Crown Victoria home on nights when the canine unit went down and we, you know, was at the shop overnight. Did he use it on regular patrol? No, he went home with it. We stopped doing that again when the transmission started acting up. But, you know, I don't know what else to say to assure the council that there was never any attempt to equip a chief's vehicle as a full-blown patrol truck. So.
Okay, so if we move right now.
They don't have to, it's not a decision that like a motion or anything. It's just a general consensus because we just have to give Tina numbers.
Direction.
Yeah. So it's.
And she's correct because, you know, the one I drive in the little city that I volunteer in has got 200,000 miles on it. So, yeah, I know well what you're talking about. And that's probably the most logical thing to do, Chief, actually, is to give you another patrol vehicle, a newer one.
And that is completely acceptable with me.
And I think so, but I still think we need to work on something to compensate you for your personal vehicle.
That's a discussion we get at a later time. And while I appreciate that, I mean, that is really nothing that was ever expected or
we understand that. No, we understand that. I fully.
I'm personally still in favor of the chief's vehicle. That's still my stance. That's, like I said, so there's, on this side, that's why I said I know the general consensus for Councilmember Aldridge and Councilmember Wilson. I wasn't sure about Councilmember Apodaca. I know where you're headed. But, I mean, my opinion is still that we have a chief vehicle. So, I don't know what – a chief vehicle?
Well, in closing, whichever you decide, I'll be completely ecstatic.
And again, I have a general consensus there, but I agree that if, in fact, it does become a patrol vehicle, then we do need to find another avenue with our city manager between, I don't know, some kind of just a discussion between the chief and the city manager as far as those types, and especially because it has to fit in IRS and there's other stipulations that have to be followed and rules too. So,
cool with me.
Thank you, Chief.
Oh, John Holton, I said hello.
I'm sorry?
I said tell John Holton I said hello.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a tough decision, but yet being in the business myself and still using a patrol vehicle, she's correct on that you do want the safest vehicle for your officers on the street, and you do want to know that the vehicle's going to get there without a problem.
Well, please rest assured, we don't have any safety concerns with any of the current fleet. Some of the older Tahoes are starting to get up there in mileage, and they're breaking down a little bit more frequently. But the city manager had indicated, or she had added, increased our vehicle maintenance budget to compensate on taking these at least one of these vehicles another year or so. You know, I'm comfortable we'll be able to continue on with the fleet that we've got for, you know, at least the vehicle in question at least another year without too much of a problem. But like I said, either way is cool with me. So.
Okay, so Tina still needs direction. I'm with the chief vehicle. Councilmember Apodaca is with the chief vehicle.
I'm for patrol vehicle.
Patrol vehicle.
Chief.
Okay. All right. So chief.
And like we said, we increased the vehicle maintenance, you know, if we kept it.
So the way that it's written right now is?
Oh, it's correct.
Is, all right.
Good yeah. Day.
However, if you could just have that conversation just in the event that anything else changes, that way it's already talked about or
yes.
Just because since it has never, or maybe it has at one time, but that may be something for all department heads at a later, you know, later on down the road, that may be a conversation later, and at least all that groundwork would have been laid.
Good idea.
Yeah. Okay, and I forgot to mention a while ago on the general fund at the end, the last page of 14. You're going to see where it says transfer to debt service. And we figured $286,125 for the first note payment of the 2018 series, the bond that we just passed. But talking with the auditor, me and Monique, and the auditor, she felt like adding another $100,000 would put a cushion to it. So this will be the last time you really see a transfer to debt service. Because after next year, the taxes from INS should start covering for the series 2018 note since the 2009 is going to be paid off in March.
Right.
So hopefully that's it.
Okay.
Wanted to point that out to you. Any other questions about the general fund? Moving on to the water fund, I changed the beginning revenue. And going on to page 2, we increased the wells, pumps, and motors. We've had issues last year, and we're going through issues right now, so we increased it by another $9,000.
What was the revenue one changed for?
The beginning revenue?
Yeah, what was that one changed
for? I took where we are about June, where we are in June balance sheet. I've made it more accurate in that line of where we are.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because that was like less, I mean, it was almost $200,000 left, so I just wanted to.
Okay, so I decreased the water purchase lease because we lost a lease back in December, January. So now we just have that one lease instead of two. So I decreased that. And then the utility billing service, I increased that by $500. They just sent me a notice in the email, I believe on Tuesday, that they were going to have a rate increase because of the paper product. So that was changed. And that's all on the waterfront. Any questions about the waterfront?
Yeah, the wells, pumps, and motors. Are we talking about the smaller stuff or the actual well pumps themselves? I mean, what's the horsepower rating on these motors? 150 or what?
What's going on? What's happening right now with the agriculture just in case we have future events? Right now we have the small chlorinated pump, but the shaft, the way that it's built, it's a metal shaft put together with a piece of plastic to a brass and feather. It doesn't work, especially with a closed vital like that.
But it's just the smaller stuff right now.
Yeah, it's the smaller stuff. So we've got to be prepared for the initial things that we run into, with the exception of the one pump that we replaced, the other two booster pumps that go through the bowl. And just any other
make sure there was enough in there, because if one of the well pumps go.
If I'm not mistaken, we have an extra one on the side there. So if one of those pumps goes out, first and foremost, well, three is our thing that's going to handle everything right now. It's going to generate stuff there. But if one or the other goes out, we're able to keep up. Well, two can hold the city, or well, three can hold the city on their own. We've done it before in the past couple months. So one goes out, we have a backup pump to put there and send the other one to get fixed. So we're prepared for any kind of issue that might come, just in case.
Salaries for the administration, is that still including Monique's assistant, even though he's resigned? Are we still planning on filling that one, or would that be an easy one to?
It's still in there. His salary is still in there.
Out.
Are we still on the waterfront, or are we going back to general?
Oh, I was just talking.
Okay. I left the capital outlay the same on the water, so nothing's changed on that.
So in anticipation of SAWS or any of that is?
That's not included in here, okay. Because that would require an ordinance change,
right.
If we decide to increase those rates.
Okay. So that would be at the time that SAWS comes in, I mean, that we know for sure. And.
Well, it's going to hit. Just stand by.
So we can put that ordinance on the agenda for discussion. So let's talk about increasing those fees. And if we do that, we would increase the revenue in here. The expenditure is already covered.
That's the revenue that would be coming in, the difference. Yeah.
We'd be passing on the fees to the customer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because
wonderful.
Sauce, yeah.
The rate for calls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You think?
Okay, tonight is the first time I brought up the debt service budget. Everything under the proposed budget has changed. The only line item that did not change is the bond paying agent. So that's why I didn't want to go yellow highlight through the whole thing. You will see the revenue at the property taxes that we discussed on the tax rate that we went over. So that includes the last payment of the 2009 series that we're going to pay off in March. I increased the interest of the bond principal. That is the last payment of the 2009 series. The interest is going to include the Series 2009 interest and also this new one that's coming up, because the first payment that we make on the 2018 note, it's going to be two payments, one in March and one in September, but they're both principal. So that's why you see such a big principal amount.
Are you paying up front over the interest? Okay.
Over the interest. And then the general transfer in is $386,125. That is the amount that we're taking out from the general fund into the debt service to cover that first note for the 2018.
That's the March, would be the March payment, right?
March.
Okay, same amount in September, or is it going to be less? Just roughly. Because if you're going against the principal over the rate.
The first year payment for the 2018 will be
$252,468. Okay.
So it's split in half, basically.
Okay.
For March and September.
Gotcha.
And it's on your sheet that she gave you.
I looked it up. I was going to say, I thought it was going to be the same, but you never, sometimes something can fluctuate a little. Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions?
Actually, on the general fund, back to just because the animal shelter piece of it, the animal control fees, for under the revenue, what is that entailing? We have an amount of $25,000 on it, but I'm just curious as to what specifically that entails. Because, I mean, clearly we heard tonight that there wasn't an option for...
Any option.
And we're not picking up animals to take them there.
Like everything that goes into that fund, the revenue account.
What's in that account is the reclaim fees, the microchip. It's everything that has to do with the adoption or reclaim or microchip. The only thing that's not going in there is the donation and the license. So if somebody's paying for a license on their dog, they go to the police department and pay that.
And we're going to have those ordinances on our August 23rd, right? Okay. Because that piece may change that. Okay, so microchip. So any animal that's microchipped, is that part of that those fees, or this is just Kirby animals?
Oh, City of San, Bexar County does not take any revenue whatsoever. So anything that's collected at the animal shelter all come to us, and then I have to report that revenue to Bexar County, what we collected, and then that's how I get divided into the numbers of factors to Bexar County and Kirby. So, like the donations that are made, that is strictly Kirby because it's mostly Kirby residents that make the donation. That doesn't get reported to them. So, all, like I said, the reclaim, microchip, it doesn't matter if it's Kirby dog or Bexar County. It's all the revenue. They do not take any collection, not even a credit card, check, or cash, or anything. It all comes through us.
So, we're their bank.
I'm sorry?
We're their bank, so to speak, yeah, with no fees.
So on our expense report, the piece, is that also in here? Like where we're at? Oh, okay, I see it. All right, so are we expecting to get that $7,000 that we haven't collected before September?
You're talking about the animal fees, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Right now we're at, I was just looking at that.
I mean, that was as of July 31st, but mm-hmm. I'm just saying, because that's a large, in retrospect, but I mean, we're still at 17,810 to date.
Yeah.
It's kind of a little slow on your pay.
That's all of us that we're getting directly.
Mm-hmm.
I can reduce that.
I'm just asking if that's a legitimate, like I said, just after hearing tonight.
I understand.
So I was just curious where
don't
what
reduce
piece of
it.
That was there.
We probably need to have a detailed listing to see exactly what the fees that are coming so far are.
I was just curious because of the, the presentation of those dollar figures.
That was a presentation? Oh, I'm sorry.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you. All right. Is there any other? If anybody has a question or suggestion, now would be the time, just so that Tina can get those figures so that we can get them plugged in. And
I think we've done enough damage.
One once? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, Tony, do you have anything to add as far as that piece of it?
Boy, that's the thing that's the kicker right there, is we're stranded in a way because we're high centered until if it comes in at 20-something percent, my God, that's going to be... Oh. They say hope for the worst, prepare for the best, and take what you get.
No, I'm waiting for the insurance. That's a week.
2% would be a disaster.
Yes.
18% would be a freaking disaster.
All right, so item 9, request by mayor and council members. Sorry, let me, before I go, are y'all good with the budget piece of it? All right, item 9A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events, community interests. Councilmember Apodaca.
No, I have nothing.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yeah, I do. I would like for maybe Monique to look into having temporary mailboxes put on Ben Singelman because of because of just coming in and, you know, the other people are having a hard time getting to the mailboxes and things. It may be easier just to walk down the block and get it instead of...
Oh, it's only going to get worse, too. It's not going to get better.
No, instead of stumbling down driveways trying to get their mail to see about the post office things.
I had the pleasure of living on Ben Singelman the last time we did it, and they put the boxes on Fred Hayes, some of them. So it's, you know, yeah, it's just going to be horrible.
Monique, when are we bringing back when we're going to discuss on the $20,000 the grants for the
seniors?
Whenever you all would like to put it back on.
Next agenda, please. And that's all I have.
Councilmember Grant?
I'd like to put on the agenda discussing no parking on Charles Conrad on the east side. I've looked in Chief Alfaro.
Yes, sir.
Just out of curiosity, I know it's going to be probably a dump. How wide is the engine, the fire trucks, how wide are they compared to a normal vehicle?
I would say it's probably...
What's
the standard width of vehicles? You know, roadways? What's the standard width? 11 something, isn't it? Yeah. I would say it's probably close to 8, maybe?
The only reason I'm asking, I've noticed that on Charles Conrad, there's about 3 or 4 streets that are dead end.
Yes, sir.
To the east. And we have houses on the west side of the street, and people park. Well, if a car parks adjacent, you're not going to put a fire truck through there.
Talking about going down like Frank Borman, something like that.
Exactly, and I'm thinking, you know, because that has now become basically a through street, and a lot of people are parking on that east side. And I was going to get your opinion on this. I'd kind of like to say we put make it all no parking on that east side because no houses face from there past the senior center, and also that would pick up. A code compliance issue of someone who allegedly runs a business out of their house that we continually are ticketing cars that are stored on the street there also. So we could maybe kill 2 birds with 1 stone, sort of. But I just figured I knew it was good. You couldn't probably fit through there, and if it would happen and the house would be on fire, you'd have to go all the way around to get there, or even an ambulance if it was too, if they didn't park properly. So, you know.
I'll measure that tomorrow morning.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Yes, ma'am, please. Yes, ma'am. Please. Thank you.
That's it. Councilmember Pierce? Thank you, everybody, for sticking around.
The no-dose crew.
Also, thank you to our city staff and our department heads for budget time. I know that this is always a stressful time for department heads as well as our city staff trying to crunch all these numbers. And I did want to thank city staff again for dealing with all the Ben Singelman construction stuff. Again, it's tiresome and it's gone on for way too long. If we can have the animal stuff back on August 23rd, I'm sure that there'll be many conversations with the upcoming week regarding all of the information that was shared tonight. Also, that's that one. You have that, the animal ordinance.
the animal ordinance with that. I mean, not that really has anything, since our ordinances are separate than Bexar County, but just to have that on. It's not necessary to have Ashley here, just unless she wants to give Chief any information as far as what she thinks as well. Any input? And all right, no.
It was an epiphany tonight when I found out that apparently our staff can adopt an animal out.
Yeah, that's the first I've heard
of. I was going to say that was exactly. So, having said that, and we're going to hold him to it, do we have any type of paperwork that our people would use to adopt an animal out? Yeah, it pertains to the county, because we talked about the age on there of 18 and 21.
So on that next council meeting, the August 23rd meeting, that the animal ordinances plus that item specifically,
please, yes,
will be addressed and discussed.
Works. Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that.
And as far as the no parking, is that the only area? I'm just saying, since we're doing all that, that would be. And that's the only thing I was asking, because if they're having
right
to
now,
look at
yeah.
it, you so know, because really, yeah. it's going to go all the way down. So I was just trying to save them time.
Well, you know, that makes sense, because when I looked at that, it just made sense all of a sudden, you know, because the other one day you meet a car coming head on,
right,
and one of them backs up.
So
I can't see a fire truck doing that or an ambulance.
So if there's any other areas that anyone sees about traffic control, if they can send Monique information that we can try to get all of them at one time, and then that way it can be addressed all together.
That's a good idea.
Is there any happening? August 9th, August 15th, August 16th. Okay, so August 16th, our group insurance, the bid opening will be here. August 16th. So our next budget workshop and regular meeting is August 23rd. So if you won't be able to be in it, please make every effort to be here, but please let Patty know as soon in advance as possible if you can't be here.
We just want to add that's when we have our first public hearing. We're
going
to tax increase. We need to take that record vote, so we do have to have
a quorum. And it has to be at least four. It has to at least be five, because if it has to be four yays in order for it to be legit. So we need at least five, just in case there's a difference of opinion there. Well, actually, probably even more if it's split. All right. Is there anything else?
Okay. I'll be here unless they extend my deportation.
Oh, my God.
You know what?
Hey.